Oh, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome. Welcome, I say. Welcome to the best show. My name's Tom. I welcome you to tonight's program. Not sure why there's some... Oh, that's what it is. Ugh! A joined together bleeding through. I didn't know why. What's that? Oh, I know. I knew. I know that. I just didn't know why it was coming on to the radio program. Jason Dudio. You know him as Dudio. He was saying, he was trying to impress Mike with this band, The Who, that he just got turned on to. And he was trying to tell Mike, and Mike was being polite, and Mike was going, oh, wow, this is good. Yeah, I'll check this out. A weird detente between Dudio and AP Mike. Usually Mike would turn the screws to him. Look, enough of these. I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about the best show. Let's get to it. 201-332-3484. We got a great show for you tonight. The topic tonight, bad advice. What's the bad advice you've been given that you either did, you followed through and paid the price, or you spotted it from a mile away and you knew not to take it? That's what we're going to talk about amongst other things, but the thing we have to do to get it going is get it going. So let's get this going. It's the best show. My name's Tom. I'm here generally every Tuesday doing the show, but now it's time for the show to begin. So here we go. It's the best show. Jersey, back again. everybody. Welcome to the best show. What's going on? My name's Tom, the host of the best show. Here on a chilly January 2018. We move through the month. We do what we do. It's cold, so we warm it up inside, right? Not unlike the great band Criss Cross, when they knew how to warm it up, remember? Warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. Warm it up, Chris. Because that's what I was born to do. The two kids who wore the backwards clothes. So we warm it up to the phone number 201-332-3484. Oh, we just heard from Royal Trucks from their great collection, Singles Live Unreleased. It was a single, Steal Your Face. The greatest image in all of rock iconography, right? I guess you have Eddie from Iron Maiden. He don't hold a candle to that skull. Man, I tell you, you hear the music that comes out of the Grateful Dead and you see that skull, you'd think it was going to be the coolest band you ever heard. If I showed you that skull, it's like, wait till you hear this band. Then you hear it, you're like, what? I think you would have seen it's like the stuff that a farmer's tractor is stuck in the mud. It's what it should be, not that cool skull. Everybody's here tonight. Full house. AP Mike. How are you, Mike? It's good. You fired up? Pat Byrne. You here? Nidudio. On hand, okay? Great stuff. All around. Our friend Roxy's also in studio. And I tell you right now, Royal Trucks playing New York Friday and Saturday. You know the good stuff. You go listen. You go see it. Legends. When legends perform, you pay your respect to the legends. It's legends. Straight up legends. And they're back. You're lucky they're back. I'm lucky they're back. Show some respect to Royal Trucks, rocking New York City, Friday and Saturday. Can't wait. Everybody listening to the Friends podcast, Meet My Friends of Friends, spin-off show from this show. And you can kill the heat now. If you don't mind. I feel like I'm doing a hot yoga in here now. I tell you, this place, it goes from me because I think I'm sitting on an ice floe to I feel like I'm getting boiled in a lobster pot. No middle ground here. No middle ground. What was I saying, Mike? Oh, the Meet My Friends of Friends. It's Friends Recap Podcast. It's funny. It's funny. It's not just a Friends Recap. What do you think? That's what I'm going to do? No. This thing's going to make history. You can listen to it. It's up for free now. Every episode goes up pretty much every day. Get it over at thebestshow.net. But after a point, they go behind the paywall. It's not a paywall. It's a Patreon subscription thing. So when they come out at a point, they're going to go up at Patreon first, and you got to be a subscriber to hear it. You got to subscribe and sponsor and back the best show over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And then they'll come out for the general public. But they'll be exclusive to Patreon for a couple weeks first. So sign up, support the best show. That's how we stay on the air, by the way. That's how we stay on the air. It's at Patreon. Patreon.com/thebestshow. We ain't got no ads. Got none of that. None of that noise. Just the good stuff. Keep it pure. Keep it pure. Who's good here, Mike? Three. Best show, hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I had to turn my sound off.
No, that's quite all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mary from Lansdale, PA.
Mary from Lansdale, PA. What's going on in Lansdale tonight?
Not a whole lot. Just waiting for it to start to snow.
How much snow is supposed to come down now?
Well, around here, maybe 2 inches.
Yeah.
We're kind of on the cusp between 2 and 3.
Yeah, I can't imagine there'd be a lot of snow. Hey, Pat, how much snow are we supposed to get? Okay. Yeah. Stop.
Like, not a lot.
Dudio said 3 feet. This guy, Dudio's telling me, I checked my website. My website. What a rickety weather website this guy was going on. Weather Boy. He told me last week, look out, here comes the snowstorm. Wow, Weather Boy got it wrong. Weather Boy. Sorry, Weather Boy. You ate it last week. So 3 feet? Did Weather Boy say 3 feet? No. Okay. See, now I don't know what I'm which way it's going. Oh, check Weather Boy. See what weather. Hi, it's me, Weather Boy. Yeah, here's my weather report. Let me just put Channel 7 on and see what they say. Oh, Sam Champion said we're looking at between 1 and 3 inches. So Weather Boy declares we're looking at between 1 and 4 inches. Weather Boy has spoken.
I mean, you gotta trust somebody named Weather Boy.
Yes, his name's Weather Boy. Hi, it's me. So tell me, what you're getting ready for the snow there in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So what's going on? What else? Did we talk last week?
Yes, that's actually. Right. Yes. I was the one who was worried that my husband would trick me into liking prog rock.
Yeah, I told you to listen to 2 songs.
Yes, and
did
I did.
Did you listen to them? What did you think?
You know what? Here's the thing. I went in it, like, really skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the King Crimson song.
It's one of the best songs ever.
It was great. I was really surprised because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, well, and like, it starts, like, this is going to, I don't know if this sounds really dumb, but I mean, for me, it sounded like a mashup of like jazz and Black Sabbath.
Yeah, look, whatever, however it makes sense for you, makes sense. That song, when it goes boom, 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 and then suddenly it's like, so that's, they're laying the bass down. Suddenly here comes Robert Fripp. He's playing so subtle. Then suddenly it's like, here comes Bruford. Boom, he's click, boom, gluck. Boom, 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 click, boom, gluck. And you turn around, next thing you know, you're in the middle of it's like, bam, 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 right?
Yes,
you
exactly.
Your marbles, didn't you?
I was shocked. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Yeah.
So you should, I would say the next thing, if you want to check more out, you should listen to that album that song is on. It's called Red.
Okay.
That might be the next step for that, if you're interested.
I actually am. I really enjoyed it, yeah.
And what was the other song I had recommended?
Yours is No Disgrace by Yes.
That's right. Where are you at on that? Where'd you end up on that?
My husband actually... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're talking.
Oh, sorry. So it turns out my husband actually has that album.
Mm-hmm.
So, I listened to the first track. Yes, I'm going to have to take a little more time getting into.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, take a pass on it. When you get to it, when it makes sense, it makes sense. And if it never does, so be it.
Fair enough.
You know what the next song I think you should listen to is?
What's that?
It's a song by Genesis. It's called Watcher of the Skies.
Watcher of the Skies.
Yes.
Is this when Peter Gabriel was in Genesis?
It is. So picture a guy dressed like a dandelion singing it.
That sounds amazing.
Picture a young Peter Gabriel, super handsome, young Peter Gabriel dressed like a thing of grapes, like he's doing a Fruit of the Loom commercial.
Wow.
Right? He's dressed like those Fruit of the Loom. Did the Fruit of the Loom guys steal that from Genesis, or did Genesis steal that from the Fruit of the Loom commercials? Mike's saying that the Fruit of the Loom guys stole that from Genesis, dressing like fruit.
I don't know. I think the Fruit of the Loom guys go back to the 60s.
Yeah, well, Mike. Peter Gabriel, young Peter Gabriel, might have been watching a Fruit of the Loom commercial and was like, "Oi, I think I'm going to dress up there like, I'll dress up like a bunch of grapes when I'm on stage at my band."
I hope that's true.
Wow. I'm glad you liked the King Crimson song. I'm glad you liked it.
I did. Yeah, it was great. I am going to seek out that whole record.
It's one of my favorite songs ever, that song.
Am I wrong, or has it been used somewhere in, like, the sound collage?
No, I never used that in the sound collage, but I've used other King Crimson things in the sound collage.
Okay, because it felt like something I would have heard, like, somewhere floating in the background, but...
Yeah, there's a fair amount of... There's some prog floating through the sound collage.
Okay.
When they show up. Well, look, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you like this stuff that warms my heart on this cold January evening. And you stay safe in the snow.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
And everybody, you got to really, I'm telling you this. apmike.bandcamp.com, my friends. It's where Mike sells his merch. I saw this thing that the Skywriter wrote apmike.bandcamp.com over the Jersey Shore, but Mike did it in winter because it was cheaper. But the thing is, nobody's on the beach. Mike's like, yeah, they can fly with the banner on the plane. It was half price. Yeah, when did you have him do it? The week after Christmas and before New Year's. It's 4 degrees out. How much would it cost to hire one of those things for when the summer? Just picture people are on the beach in the Jersey Shore, right? Plane flies over. Listen to the best show, right? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? Because that's what happens on the Jersey Shore. They have these planes fly over the beach, like over the ocean a little bit, but they have these long streaming banners that they change the writing on of different advertisements. If we had a Best Show ad on the beach, man, that would be something, right? Havsies. Yeah, Mike, we might tread lightly on this one. You go to talk to one of those things, $40,000. I'll go buy the plane. It'd be cheaper to buy a plane. I'll get AP Mike up in a plane. Yeah, Jersey Mike's, Mike, there's 40,000 of those all over the place. This is not some local sub thing, Jersey Mike's. Those are coast to coast. Jersey Mike's. Bringing that special wet kind of sub to the rest of America. People are like, well, the subs I eat and the sandwiches I eat are generally so, the bread isn't soaked with oil and vinegar to where it falls apart 1/3 of the way through me eating my sandwich. Well, then you need to try the Jersey Mike's experience. Wouldn't you like it? It's a fun little thing. You go to Jersey Mike's and your hand smells like the sandwich all day long. It's like a little bonus. You get a good memory of the sandwich, right? Get a little remembrance. Everything you touch will smell like a sub for the next 16 hours. Everything you touch smells like oil and vinegar and lunch meat. That's the Jersey Mike's difference. These other places, why go to another sub shop where your hand doesn't smell like lunch meat for a day? Jersey Mike's, you eat your sandwich, and then you remember what you ate for the next day and a half, as your hand smells like oil and vinegar and tuna fish. I'm ignoring you, Mike, on that. Save that for your show. Best show, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
I'm just doing a show. What are you doing?
I'm at work. I actually can barely listen to the show.
You're at work. Where do you work?
Working in a grocery store.
Okay. Well, what department? What department?
Not in the department. I'm just do all sorts of stuff. It's a small, like, bodega-like place.
You go wherever they tell you.
I go wherever they tell me.
You unpack the boxes?
Occasionally.
Are you one of those guys at the end of the night in the grocery store who wheel the things where you can't even shop in the store because the crew's unloading boxes everywhere?
Yeah, no, I stock stuff. I check people out. I sell booze mostly.
Sure.
Like I said, it's like a little bodega.
And where are you? Where in the country are you, my friend?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa City, Iowa. Nice out there?
No, it's miserably cold tonight.
It is? But don't worry, who's the band from there? Slipknot?
Slipknot's from Des Moines, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they're terrible.
Is there a statue of all the members of Slipknot anywhere?
Oh, I wish.
Commemorating
I wish.
Them? The Iowa Walk of Fame?
No, you'd have to have that and Captain Kirk and... Woodrow Wilson. I think that's about it for
that's
Iowa,
it.
Though.
That covers Iowa. Woodrow Wilson and Slipknot.
And Captain Kirk.
And Captain Kirk, you mean William Iowa. Shatner?
No, William Shatner is Canadian.
Okay, yeah, Captain that's right. Kirk's from Iowa. So the fictional character.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to it just being Woodrow Wilson because it's a fictional character. It's not real.
That's fair.
So you got the nine members of Slipknot. And Woodrow Wilson.
Yes.
What do you got playing in the background? What do you got? What are you listening to there?
I've got the terrible, canned music that they play
in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Can you say something?
I'm trying
over,
to get away from it.
Can you say something over the PA and I can hear it in the store?
Absolutely.
Can you say? What's like an innocuous thing that's like a best show reference you can make over the PA? Can you say something like that? We have a call for AP Mike. Can you say that over the thing? Like, AP Mike, there's a phone call?
Yeah, I can probably manage that.
And can we hear it?
Hold on just a second. We got a call for AP Mike. AP Mike to the front.
No, this is not real. You said it's a bodega.
Did you not hear that?
It's a bodega, though. You don't have a PA system, do you?
We've got two buildings, so you've got to be able to talk between the buildings.
So
we've
that
got guys that are dedicated to selling beer, and dedicated to selling wine. We have to be able to talk to them.
So that went
we
into
the
other
PA
building.
All the time.
That went into the other building.
They might be. That's where all the offices are.
All right. Well, that's a thrill. And I'll say this, anybody who works in a grocery store or any place that has like an announcing system, if you can call up and do the announcements over it, start like we could hear it on the show, call up. I'd love to hear it. So what can I do for you, my friend?
Well, you want stories about bad advice?
That's right. That's what we're talking about tonight. Bad advice.
I have a story filled with bad advice for you.
Well, let's hear it. And what's your name, by the way? What's your name?
My name is Luther.
Luther. Thanks for calling, Luther.
Of course.
Let's hear
this. So this all starts long ago when I was like 13 or 14 years old.
Okay.
And I knew a guy who worked at a record store, and he thought he had an idea of what sort of stuff I would like. And so he recommended Modern Lovers.
Okay.
The Berserkly record.
Yes. One of the 30 best albums.
I'm getting a little bit of reverb. I'm getting
one of the
a
best
few
albums.
Minutes ago of the best show.
Don't worry.
Right now.
Just tell the story. I'll keep quiet. You just tell your story.
All right. So I get really into the Modern Lovers. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Fast forward. I'm in college, I'm 21, and Jonathan Richman is coming to Iowa City, Iowa, to play at a bar called Gabe's.
Okay.
And I'm absolutely thrilled. So I show up at the bar for a 9 o'clock door, probably at 6:30, and having nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I start drinking.
Okay.
And so I'm getting drunk with the bar flies down at the bar, like you find at 6:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. And sure enough, Jonathan Richman just walks through the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I freak out because it's Jonathan Richman. He's even wearing a little pirate shirt the entire thing. So I start talking about how excited I am, how thrilled I am to be seeing Jonathan Richman.
Sure.
And then the guy next to me says, "Well, you should go and talk to him."
So that's the bad advice, right? That's right. That's bad advice number one.
That's the bad advice number one. Never meet your heroes is a big thing.
How about this, though? Never meet your heroes drunk.
Yeah. That's probably a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
But I don't know how good I would have been sober.
Well, let's just say tread lightly when you meet your heroes. Never meet your heroes drunk.
That is an excellent moral. So anyway, I head upstairs to where he's going to be playing, talk to one of the guys behind the bar, just like, "Can I talk to Jonathan for a second?" And they're like, "Sure." And I was like, "Jonathan, this guy wants to talk to you for a second." So I walk across this empty, bar floor where everyone's going to be standing watching the show, and Jonathan comes down off the stage and comes towards me. And I introduce myself, and it all spills out. You know what I mean?
You just start telling him about how important the record is and the music, and you love it. But I'm guessing you talked about the Modern Lovers a little too much, and he doesn't want to hear about that. He wants you to talk about his nursery rhyme records.
I don't know what exactly he wanted from me.
Go.
But
one, two,
he started
buckle
talking,
my shoe. Three,
and
four.
This is where it all went wrong.
Okay.
So he says, "What did you say your name was?" I said, I'm Luther. And he goes, "Okay, I'm Jonathan."
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yeah, I know that. And he says, what do you do, Luther? And I say, I'm a student. And he says, okay, I'm a musician. And I've just been stopped. Like, I realize I'm being an asshole for the first time.
Yeah, all right, click, yeah.
And I don't quite realize that he's being an asshole yet.
It's not, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And he says to me, "So if I understand you right, Luther, you're saying if it weren't for me, your life would have been pretty terrible, huh?" And I start stuttering, and I'm saying, that's not what I mean. And just stumbling over myself. And Donald Richman says, "I think you better think about this a little bit more." I've got to go back and do my sound check.
Wow.
And so I'm walking away from him. I'm totally shaken. And here's the real moment.
Yeah.
I hear him say, oh, and Luther? And I turn around.
Keep it clean for this moment, though.
And he says, good luck with your life.
But in a way that means...
He's a total prick.
Yeah. Well, my friend, I don't know what to tell you. You blew it. You went up. You ran hot with him. You took some advice. Some rummy at the bar was like, yeah, go talk to him. It's your hero. Go say hi. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'll go say hi. Hey, Jonathan, I just want to say hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Right? And you're just like, my name's Luther.
Well, my name's Jonathan. Tonight, I'll be alone in my room.
Right? Is that what he said to you then?
Can't sleep with you again.
All right. You have a great night. The grocery store music is a little loud. Night. Bad advice. You can't listen to take advice from someone who's bombed. You should go talk to him. Go talk to him. He's in the middle of a sound check. Can't bother him. He's in a sound check. Right, Mike? You're at the bar. You work at H&H. When anybody's inebriated, they start giving out advice. Generally, the quality of the advice gets a little gets lower as the drunker they get. But have you heard bad advice? Good advice. To you, what are you doing working here? Well, Mike, I don't know. All right. Good old Mike. Gotta love him, right? Go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Show him some love over there. He's got his shirts. He's got his massive shirts. I'm working on a movie with Mike. It's actually, we're updating, Phantom Thread. It's going to be AP Mike with Mass's shirts, though. He'll be assuming the Daniel Day-Lewis role. Except he'll be designing Mass's shirts. Putting people in Mass's shirts. You see it yet, Mike? Phantom Thread? I don't know if you can hang with it. No. Yeah, it's great. It's the best. Mixed reviews. Yeah, it didn't get nominated. So what? You know, Dances with Wolves got nominated for everything 25 years ago. Nominated? Who cares? Didn't get nominated. What are you, sitting at home with the checklist? Mike, the movies you like, and you're going to pull out what gets nominated? How many times Werner Herzog get nominated? Zilch. Right? Yet he's your hero. You talk to a little keychain of Werner Herzog. Mike has a little picture of him. It's him with the Fitzcarraldo boat. It's Werner Herzog. It's one of those keychains you shake and then like it's like it turns into a different thing. Like where like you shake the thing and then the lady's pants come down or whatever. Except this, do this thing, you shake it and the Fitzcarraldo boat smashes. Who invented those things?
What if I do a thing, you shake it and the lady's clothes come off?
Yeah, I should have escorted that person to jail. Not to the novelty shop. Best show, hi.
Hold for D. Ploppleton Esquire. Tom. It's Darren.
Hey, Darren.
How's it going? You know, it's funny. I see you at work every day, and I can't remember the last time I called the show. It's been forever.
It has been a long time since you've actually been on the show as a caller.
Yeah.
A long time. And for people who don't know, Darren is a guy, Darren Ploppleton, who I've known since childhood. And we both worked over at Consolidated Cardboard for coming up on like 20 years at this point.
Seems like a lifetime, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know? But we have fun, though. We have a good time. Oh, man. How about this Italian Pizzeria 8 thing? It's been closed all week.
Italian Pizzeria 8. Yeah. I saw they're remodeling.
Well, the word I heard is that they're going to install a PA system to amplify that constant clanging of the metal spatula against the grill.
Yes, for people who've never eaten it, IP8, Italian Pizzeria 8, it's they have like a grill, and I guess they're making, like cheesesteaks on it or something?
It sounds like they're like mining for gold or something on that thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no way that they could need to hit that spatula so hard. Right. Like, clang, clang. Like, if you dropped the spatula from, like, 50 feet up,
right,
it would not be as noisy as them hitting it onto the grill so hard.
Yeah, and like you said, they're just making cheesesteaks. You know, it's not like they're...
Steakums.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, and you know it's not even high quality as Steakum. It's probably like...
Yeah, some bulk.
I don't know what... Yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine some off-brand Steakum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steak like 'em.
Steak, yeah.
Steak like 'em.
Steak like 'em, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, the intro to your call there.
Yeah.
Usually when you call, you do that dumb, weird robot voice that you're so...
Well, I take offense to the word dumb. That was my signature line, you know. For those of you out there who don't remember it, it was Bloptron 5000, what up, douche? Classic,
yeah.
Right?
It's class. Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I feel like now that's kind of beneath me, you know, now that I'm in a position of such power and significance.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I forgot. I forgot who I'm talking to.
Right?
Yeah, you're not just another, cardboard.
Johnny Punch Clock.
No. I forgot that I'm talking to the new head of European distribution over at Consolidated Cardboard.
Would it kill you to call me sir?
You know, I'm not calling you sir, Darren.
Just once, please.
No, I'm not going to do that. But with this job, how...
Right.
How does that work, you being the head of European distribution? Like, do you have to go to Europe a lot?
I do, yeah. I have to go once a month, and it's so cool because I've never been before. I'm really excited, but, you know, there are a few things I'm kind of concerned about, you know, like, will they have bathrooms? Do I have to wear lederhosen or kimonos? What will I do for food? Is there a monetary system?
Is there a monetary system?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is, okay.
Yes, yes. And you don't have to wear a kimono or lederhosen.
Okay.
And I really wouldn't worry about any of that stuff, you know. But I got to give you credit. You're really moving through the company like nobody's business.
I know. It's finally happened for me. You know, it's so exciting. And, well, you'll get to where I am someday, okay? I know old man Dalrymple has passed you over for several promotions lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, passed over is being nice. It's like I'm getting passed backwards It's like, I was the vice president of second stage corrugation, and now I'm sub-lieutenant of loading dog hosing at this point.
I know. You know, well, if I can be brutally honest, Tom, can I?
Sure.
You didn't do yourself any favors when you emceed that awards banquet in December, okay?
Well, okay, yeah, fair enough. How was I supposed to know that old man Dalrymple would react as negatively as he did to the little mini roast that I did?
Well, it may have been a mini roast, but it was, I mean, that was Anthony Jeselnik level trashing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was great. And God, I'm trying to remember some of those zingers you had. Let me think here.
Yeah.
What was that first one? It was like, people always say that we should do a roast of old man Dalrymple. And to that I say, why bother? He's going to do plenty of roasting when he's in hell for all the horrible things he's done.
Yeah, that was one
of
those.
He did not like that.
No, he did not.
Oh, my God. And then there was another one. It was so good. It was like, if I had a dollar for every time someone told me that old man Dalrymple is cheap, he's an old racist, he's offensive, or he doesn't shower, I'd have about as much money as old man Dalrymple embezzled from the company pension. Did you see the steam coming from under his collar? Yeah. It was literal steam.
Yeah. I'm getting a stomachache hearing you say these.
Sorry.
Oh.
What was the one about the crowd? It was, Oh, great turnout tonight.
Yes.
The only time you'll see this many Consolidated Cardboard employees in one place with big smiles on their faces is at the funeral of old man Dalrymple. Once people are sure he's actually dead.
Yeah, a little strong, maybe.
He had to be, it was like in a sitcom where someone gets up and they need to be held back by three people.
Yeah, yeah.
So funny. Yeah.
It was not. Yeah, but enough of, you know. I don't know.
Also the Facebook one. Oh, yes, it was, now, I don't want to say old man Dalrymple is old and out of touch, but he was recently talking about how he was on Facebook. And I went into his office, and he was literally jamming his face into a book while yelling, "My status update is that haters are just going to hate." He didn't really react to that because he didn't know what Facebook was.
No. That one might have gone over his head a little bit.
Yeah. But his 27-year-old wife, who I guess is number 8 for him, right?
I think so, yeah.
Mindy?
Mm-hmm.
She, I guess, was really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she threw her high heel at you.
She did, yes, and she hit. She didn't just throw it, she connected.
Yeah, but I thought you were great. I thought that stuff was super funny.
Oh, well.
And I'm just sorry you had to pay the price for it.
I appreciate you saying that. I just wish that I had read that room better, because
right.
I could have just gone up there and, like, blathered for 5 minutes about how great old man Dalrymple is, and then I, you know, if I had done that, I wouldn't be stuck out on the damn loading dock.
I know, and it's so cold out there, Lanny. You must just be freezing your buns off out there.
It's cold, very cold.
Now, and I know the main function on that loading dock, the main job you guys have is hosing it down and hosing other things down. Is the hose just frozen to your hands for half the day?
We spend a good portion of the day with a different hose with hot water going through it, and we hose the hose down.
You hose the hose? That makes
with
sense.
Hot water.
There is a hose that's earmarked, if you will, for hot water.
Yes, it's the hot water hose.
Wow, so it is earmarked for that.
It's earmarked for that.
Okay, that sounds good. Wow, it's smart. It's very smart.
Yeah, well, you know, I look back at that, and, you know, you should just be glad you're doing what you're doing and playing it how you're playing it, and that you now have a great job, and that you didn't kind of blow it the way I did.
Well, that's the thing. Tom, I'm terrified that old man Dalrymple and his son, young man Dalrymple, they're going to fire me when they find out that I played in bands.
Uh-huh. Wait. I mean, it's weird how personal they take that stuff because the family, the Dalrymple family, the owners of this Consolidated Cardboard company that I've been working at and Darren's been at for, you know, a huge portion of both of our lives. They are staunch Eighth Day pre-Adventists, and any and all forms of music are frowned upon.
I'm not sure if you heard about this. This is kind of sick. They went so far as to removing the voice boxes of all the wild birds within 100 yards of the plant so they can't sing.
I thought that was a little outrageous. But, look, I know they take it very seriously, but I don't think it's a big deal in terms of the bands you used to play in that, you know, you don't play in rock bands anymore, right?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the rock bands. I'm talking about the ska bands.
The ska bands.
Yeah, Tom, I've got a ska past.
You have a ska past?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about your ska past.
Well, remember that period from 1992 to 1997 when we weren't speaking?
Oh, yeah. Do I? Yes, absolutely. I was so mad at you during that stretch because you had set fire to my Wacky Packages collection. Was very valuable.
Well, I told you that was an accident.
Uh-huh. Well, look, I don't want to go down this road and start getting too far into this, but, you know, I just have to kind of recap this for the audience just to give some clarity to what we're talking about.
Oh, great. Here we go. Another chapter from Tom Sharpling's fake history book.
My fake.
Break it out,
no,
I guess.
This is not fake history. This is what happened back. It was September of 1992, and I'm having a little get together to watch the premiere of that new John Ritter sitcom, Hearts of Fire. And, I mean, I don't know if you remember the show. It was about the relationship between a senator's aide and a D.C. reporter.
It was a good show, too. What a shame it only lasted, what was it, like 3 seasons?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I'll tell you, though, it was super cool that they got that Fugazi cameo.
Yeah, it's still shocking, but there's still something so weird about that they appeared as maintenance workers and not as a rock band.
Right. Well, I always assumed that that was because they wanted to show off their acting chops.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, I was surprised at how many lines they all had. And that thing with Joe Lally dying in that flood at the end?
Very weird.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but at that point in time, I don't know if anyone had died on a sitcom since Ted Knight got bludgeoned to death by that intruder on that last episode of Too Close for Comfort. Does that sound right?
That might have been the last time that a major player on a show, a sitcom.
Oh, God, what a creepy episode that was, and it only aired once.
Yeah, that was very weird. You know, you think back at it, and it's like I guess the only thing out of that whole era that I wish, I wish that spinoff, Guy's Place, I wish that had stuck around longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was actually really good as a tavern owner.
Right, right.
And do you remember when the guys from Rites of Spring or Happy Go Licky would come by to visit at the bar?
I did. That was super fun. And they would just kind of, you know, they just kind of shoot the S, you know, about the old days at the Wilson Center. And, you know, like every now and then one of them would say, what about that show that time the UK Subs played? And John Stab landed all on my head with his boot and just kind of fun stuff like that. I don't know why it didn't appeal to more people.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a narrow appeal at all.
Yeah.
But look, let's get back to the matter at hand is what happened back that night. I mean, I don't know how well you remember this, but I mean, I was, if you remember, I was doing my impressions and I just remember you being pretty, like, jealous that I was, like, killing.
Well, look, hey, you know, I do admit you were on that night. You're Kramer, you're Jay Leno, you're Urkel, you're Marv Albert, you're Mr. Saturday Night. All those impressions, they were solid. But don't discount what I was doing. My scent of a woman Pacino slayed, and you know it.
That it was terrible, Darren. You know that's terrible.
What? That's no, awful. No way, man. People were elbowing each other going, this guy is full of hits.
Uh-huh. Hits. But they, yeah. No, look, they were elbowing each other. Without a doubt, people were elbowing each other and pointing at you, but they were not saying this guy is full of hits.
What were they saying?
I'm not going to finish the phrase. You can figure it out.
You're both jealous and delusional. Did you ever think about that?
I'm not jealous or delusional about this. You were just so mad that people were laughing at you that you just stomped into my room, you doused my wacky package collection with lighter fluid, and you set it on fire.
For the 8 millionth time, I did not. I did not do that. Sounds like the guy with the weird long hair in that movie.
The guy with the long...
I did not. I did not do that. And he goes like, oh, hi, Mel.
It's, oh, yeah, that's not Mel. It's Mark.
No, it's Mel.
No. It's okay.
Pretty sure it's Mel.
Well, look, you did not do it. It's first of all, it's not. Again, the matter at hand. Everybody heard you cackling and saying "burn, burn, burn" over and over again, and you were even doing like a movie villain hand rubbing thing.
You can't prove that.
Oh, I can. I can though. You, my brother filmed it. He videotaped it. Lon.
Look. That's neither here nor done, all right? I'll tell you, during that period where we were personas all grotten with one another, that's when I really got into ska. That's what I was trying to tell you.
Well, that is such a strange thing that you'd get into ska during that run, because you were always so into classic rock for a whole
year. Yeah, I know, but when I heard that, when I heard the specials for the first time, I was like, I was hooked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, look, a lot of that early ska and early 80s, like two-tone ska's really cool stuff.
Oh, God, my bands were nowhere near that cool. No way.
Your bands. You were in, what bands were you in?
Are you nuts? I'm not going to tell you that. Uh-huh. Have you hold it over my head? No way.
Yeah, look, I just searched.
What are you doing?
I just searched nothing. Over at All Music, I searched your name. Nothing came up.
It's because I went under the name.
What's that?
That's because I went under the name Ska D-Cat.
Wait, say that again, please.
Ska D-Cat.
Ska... Oh, like Scared D-Cat?
Yeah, but ska.
Yeah.
Look, shut up.
Uh-huh. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
How many bands were you in?
Two?
Two. No, there's at least 30 ska bands listed here.
Oh, no. Let's stop talking right now, okay?
No. Oh, my.
Please, I should go.
No, this is great. Look at these names. Wow.
Please don't.
Scarberry Shortcake. Scat Free.
Scott Free.
Scott Free. Skalawful Mitt Hummus. Suiscottle Tendis Skaz. Scalding, scat, scat, Scalding hot scoffy. Is that how you say that?
I'm so upset by this. It was scalding hot scoffy.
Yeah. Skama Sutra. Metallica.
Guess what kind of music we played?
You played ska versions of Metallica songs.
Yeah.
Lake Titty Ska Ska.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken Tikka Marsalska.
Marscala.
Chicken Tikka Marscala. Dred Scott Decision, S-K-A-T. Sir Walter Scully. Sconnectedy. Skloshals. The Skloshals. Butcher Scullo.
Yeah.
What is Butcher Scullo?
I ruined my life. I just feel so terrible about this. Anywho, that last one, Butcher Scullo.
Yeah.
We did ska versions of Loretta Lynn songs.
And did that have a broad appeal?
Not really, no.
No. What's the most that Butcher Scullo ever played for audience-wise?
In terms of people?
Yes.
I want to say we started that show with 70.
Uh-huh. And where did it end up?
Are we counting the sound then?
No, we're not.
Zero. Yeah.
So there were more people on stage than in the audience.
Yeah, there were 11 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what is this? What is the Skloshal?
Oh, the Skloshals?
Yeah.
We did even more extremely scot out versions of special songs than the Specials did.
So you took special songs, which were ska, and turned them more ska.
Even, yeah, like the ska intensity level was upped. So it didn't even sound like ska anymore. It sounded almost like, have you heard of this genre of metal called grind?
Sure.
That's what it sounded like.
Wow. So it was so ska that it had nothing to do with ska.
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh. And how successful were all these bands? You told us about Butcher Scullo,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of the bands, like how successful were they on the whole?
On a scale of, I don't know, like 1 to 20?
Sure, a scale of 1 to 20.
Half?
So one half.
Half of one, yes.
Mm. Okay, wow.
Look, in my defense, I was only the pick-it-up guy in some of these bands.
This pick-it-up guy.
Yes.
In your defense. So you were the pick-it-up guy, the guy who doesn't sing the lead on the songs or play an instrument, and you're not even sure exactly why he's up on stage?
Right. He's almost like the vibe merchant. You know, he's jumping around, and he's trying to get people dancing and stuff, and I was really good at it until I got my first payday, and yeah. I realized that the pick-it-up guy, he doesn't get as much as the other guys.
So you were saying pick-it-up, but ironically, you were picking up less money than everybody else.
Oh, I wasn't picking up any money. I was literally picking up food that they dropped.
So you were not, at the end of the show, you guys would be squaring up afterwards, and they would all have some cash.
Right.
And you'd be, the pick-it-up guy would be picking up what? Lunch meat?
It depends what they were serving at the club. Oh, they wouldn't allow me even backstage.
Oh, you weren't even allowed to get, like, the deli tray.
The green room stuff. No, yeah. I was picking up whatever was left on the dance floor.
Like smushed onion rings.
Chiclets, onion rings, corn dogs. Sometimes there was no food at all. I'd have to eat the corn dog stick.
Just the stick?
Yep. I'd cook it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have a little lighter and like a little dish I would cook stuff in.
Sure. Well, look, I guess my mind is blown by this, Darren. I'm still wrapping my head around you being into ska at all. Cause like your favorite band of all time is Pink Floyd.
Right, but, you know, like I said, when I heard that first Specials album, Coventry Lads Looking Upwards, I was hooked.
The first Specials album is not called Coventry Lads Looking Upwards.
Sure it is. No, what do you think it's called?
It's just called The Specials.
It
that's,
is?
That's the cover.
Oh. Well, I love that second album, too, Having Pints Down at the Pub with a Young Lady.
It's nothing. It's called More Specials.
That's a terrible name for an album.
Uh-huh. Well, it's what it's called.
Well, I also love that first Madness album. You know, that was huge for me. The 12-Legged Ska Monster.
It's called One Step Beyond, actually.
Well, there is a song on it called that.
Called what?
One Step Beyond.
Yes, and that's why the album is called that as well.
Oh,
there's
okay.
No song on it called 12-Legged Ska Monster.
No, but that's what's on the cover.
Yeah, okay.
I love that third English Beat album, Tarmac Nights.
That's, no, it's Special Beat Service. Hey, Darren, do you have Titlenesia also?
I do, yeah. I got bitten by a silverback garden bush pig.
Wait, that's how you get Titlenesia?
Yeah, that's the only way you can get it. I'll tell you, man, these things, they're tiny, but they really get those little nubby, sharp teeth into your haunches. Oh, my God, and they won't let go. It hurts so bad.
Really?
Yeah, and that's, of course, that's the big side effect is that you end up with Titlenesia. Mm-hmm. But we're off track now. The 90s?
Yeah.
After you and I stopped talking, that was a really exciting time for me because I was really into ska, and there were a lot of these newer bands that had ska elements, and they were getting really successful. You know, there was like, No Doubt and their album Blondie and the Fly-Ridden Orange.
Well, that's not what that record's called.
What do you think it's called?
I know it's called Tragic Kingdom.
That doesn't sound right. Well, that band Rancid, they were kind of punk, but they had ska, too, and I loved their album Bored Mohican.
It's not the name of that album. It's Out Come the Wolves.
Okay. Mighty Mighty Boston's put that great album out called Boston Police Car.
Uh-huh. Nothing. It's called Question the Answers.
That's stupid. It can't be called that.
It is.
Anyway, but the big record for me was the Sublime album, Upper Back Tattoo.
Well, that's just a self-titled album. Just called Sublime.
Well, we can argue about that all night, but I won't. But, you know, I was having a tough time with my bands because my bands couldn't get any traction. You know, our managers and our booking agents were just pulling choke jobs and dropping balls left and right. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Darren?
Mm-hmm?
I think there might have been another reason that your bands didn't make it.
You're right, and I did forget to mention this. My bandmates, when we get up on a big stage, if we were opening for somebody or playing a big gig, these guys would freeze up.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'd have to do all the work.
I don't know if it's so much the managers or the booking agents or even the other band members. I've been watching some of these videos on YouTube of your bands while
right.
we're talking, and you guys are just, you're terrible.
What did I tell you? These guys didn't know how to work the big stages.
Well,
they get really inhibited, shine at all.
Well, actually, when I say you guys, I mean you are terrible, specifically.
Me? What? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding at all. I don't think I've ever seen anyone ham it up as drastically as you're doing in these things. You're flinging yourself around the stage like you're like a ska Ed Grimley.
Who?
Ed Grimley.
Who's that?
It's a Martin Short character.
The I Must Say guy?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's insulting, Tom.
Well, it's the thing you're giving off. It's the image you're giving off. What can I ask what you're wearing here in this thing? It's like the same outfit in every one of the bands.
Well, it's a vintage suit and tie, you know, traditional ska garb, a pork pie hat, but I'm also wearing big cat ears and also a long cat tail because, you know, as we said before, I was ska decat.
Uh-huh.
Don't make me say it again,
yeah,
please.
Okay. Well, I just, there's another thing I'm noticing coming up again and again in these videos is you're in that thing you just described in the tail.
Right.
You keep, like, manipulating the tail, so I'm not even going to say what it looks like you're doing.
It looks like I'm pleasuring myself.
Yeah, stop.
I know, I told you I wasn't proud of it, and Tom, I need you to get rid of all traces of my ska past. From what you're telling me, that stuff is all over the light web.
All over, no, you mean the dark web.
No, the light web. The light web is where the not-that-so-bad stuff is housed online.
The light web.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, dark web, light web, I don't know what to tell you. You're kind of on your own on this, buddy.
Please, come on. I can't chance old and young man Dalrymple's finding out about this and then sending me to your loading dock gulag, all right? You know I can't withstand the elements due to my incredibly thin skin. Uh-huh. And that's not just like a saying. My skin is very thin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, little bit of a heads up, old man Dalrymple, young man Dalrymple are not the ones you really need to be worrying about. The grandson is the one, younger man Dalrymple. He's the one who he polices that place like you'd think it was like a Russian prison camp.
Oh, believe me, that clod is nothing to worry about right now.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, let's just say he's indisposed.
Uh-huh. Well, I gotta say, I don't like this. It's very menacing, the laugh. I don't like it. What, I mean, how is he indisposed? I mean, I know he hasn't been around, like, the last few days with that weird club/whip that he's always brandishing, when he's kind of stomping through the halls.
Right, well, oh, let's just say he's around.
Yeah, you're being really creepy and really weird, and I have to ask, do you know where younger man Dalrymple is?
Well, define no.
Are you aware of his whereabouts?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, stop playing games and doing that laugh. Where is he?
I statued him.
I'm sorry?
I statued him.
What does that mean, you statued him?
Well, you know that statue in front of the entrance at Consolidated Cardboard?
Yeah, the one of the founder of Consolidated Cardboard, Giuseppe Cardboardino.
What a great man he was, right?
He started the company, yeah.
He did. I heard that he had that, we can say, it was a stereotypical Italian mustache, you know, and he would grease it, mm-hmm. And it was like, almost like, who's the guy in Husker Du, Greg Norton?
Yes.
Wally Fingers, one of those mustaches. Mm-hmm. I heard that the way he got the company off the ground was he would go to Coney Island, and he would make money letting people grease his mustache. And
that's
twirl the ends of it.
The money for the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard that story.
Yep.
But let's get back to the statue.
Okay. Yeah, what about it?
Like why did you ask me if I know where that statue is?
Because younger man Dalrymple's inside of it.
He's in the statue.
Yeah.
How did he end up in the statue?
I put him in there.
You put him in?
I did, yeah. I came up behind him, and I chloroformed him.
Uh-huh.
And then I sealed him up in the statue on Friday night.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, so he's alive in there?
Yes! I'm not a sick murderer, you monster! You know, I'm going out there right now to put food pellets through the statue's mouth hole.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's how you're feeding him while he's
I am, yeah.
in there.
All right, I'm coming, you bastard. Oh, wait.
What's that?
Oh, no. Oh, no, the head's missing. It's over here on the ground.
From the statue?
Yeah. Where the hell did he... Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, young man Dalrymple, no!
What is it?
He's got me in a Dalrymplean standoff. He's got his whip. Please. It wasn't my idea to statue you. It was Tom Sharpling's idea.
It was not my idea.
Yes, the nursery school DJ. You've heard of him. Then you've no doubt heard the sick stories about him. He's a madman. Nothing will stop his pursuit of sick power. It's sick.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no! Younger man Dalrymple, stop! Oh, no! Oh, Tom, I beg you. Please clear all the erotic materials out of my desk in the event that I'm whipped unrecognizable, okay, please?
Darren, I'm not...
Oh, no!
Hey, I'm not gonna...
Oh, no! Oh!
I'm not gonna clear you.
Ooh.
Wow. It's weird. Weird. So it gets weird and it gets weird and gets... It stays... gets. It's weird and it gets weirder. Royal Trucks. Oh, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Royal Trucks. Good stuff. Good stuff. You don't sleep on that stuff, man. The legends do what the legends do. That song was called Back to School, also from the collection, the singles and the live and the unreleased. All of it's on Drag City. Drag City Records. Can't go wrong with that. And they're playing in New York. They're playing Friday and they're playing Saturday. I don't know which one I'm going to. I don't know. I got to see them, though. I don't know which show, though. Don't know yet. Best show, hi.
Hi, how are you tonight, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Andy calling from Brooklyn.
Andy from Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn are you, Andy?
Prospect Lefferts.
What? Where?
It's your neighborhood. Prospect Lefferts Garden.
Prospect Lefferts Garden?
Yeah.
There's no such neighborhood as that. Stop. Prospect.
All right.
Okay, go ahead. What do I owe the pleasure, Andy?
Well, I was just checking in to offer you and meet my friends of friends a friendly welcome to the wild and wacky world of podcasting from me and the rest of us here at the second most popular podcast, the Porkcast.
Because you do the thing on Porgs or something from Star Wars?
Yeah, I'm the host of the podcast, the number 2 podcast entirely dedicated to our wonderful winged warriors, our fun furry.
Look, I didn't see the Star Wars movie yet. I still haven't gotten the seed yet. Don't ruin it for me. Spot me that.
Oh,
I'm
no,
gonna
I
go
would
see
never.
This week. Look, this porgs thing. I don't know. I don't know where I am on these porgs. I got to meet them first. I ain't met them yet.
Well, I'll just spoil one thing, is that the porgs are delightful.
Yeah, no,
and,
okay, they're delightful. Okay, I'll be the judge of that. Did you see Phantom Thread yet?
I did, I loved it.
Yeah, it's great, right?
I can't wait for the AP Mike sequel.
I know, just picture AP Mike going to his workshop in the middle of the night, furiously sketching out a new Masses shirt, right? Royalty coming in, and he's putting, "I do believe your wardrobe is ready, Your Highness." And then she comes out from behind the mirror, and she's wearing a Masses shirt. "I love it.
I just hope he's a little kinder to his muses than the Daniel Day-Lewis was in the movie."
All right, calm down with spoiling stuff. What is it? You're in a rush. You're saying those porgs are delightful. You're saying the thing about that. No one
That's
likes a spoiler.
Stuff, Tom.
No one likes a spoiler, my friend.
I would never try to spoil. I've put all spoiling behind me after I accidentally revealed a big Breaking Bad thing to a friend, and it's been haunting me ever since.
Well, it should. It should. Because
I know.
No one likes a spoiler.
I know.
So what's going on with you in this? Are you really doing this porg podcast?
Yeah, well, we're 10 episodes in, totaling 14 hours, 47 minutes. Nothing comparing to your decades of three-hour programs, but it's a good start.
Yeah, it is. You're well on your way. Look, who knows? Maybe when it's all said and done, you'll have done more episodes of this porg podcast than I did of The Best Show. The show will look like a drop in the bucket to the years upon years of you talking about porgs.
Well, I hope so, because you gave me the advice that it's a dumb idea and it sucks and I shouldn't do it, but if I'm going to do it, and did it, I did.
There you go. So was that good advice or bad advice?
Well, it was great, I think, because I did create one of the porg. There's another porgcast with the same title, The Porgcast, and to be honest, I've felt a little discouraged lately. They've got 1,736 followers on Instagram, whereas we only have 220.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what you need to do?
Yeah.
You need to call your show. You need to say on your show, George Lucas presents the original Porgcast.
Yeah, they said it was just the Porgcast, and then once they became aware of us, they put the real Porgcast on there, and we couldn't get the handle.
Call yours Ray's. Original Ray's Porgcast.
Like R-E-Y?
Yeah, like the pizza. Except it's also a Star Wars reference, right?
Yeah,
you do
I love
it. R-E-Y. Isn't that how you do her name, Ray?
Mm-hmm.
Then you do Original Ray's, but you're doing her name R-E-Y. Famous Ray's Porgcast, right?
It sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't know if it
is.
Might be too late to change the name.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Best Show, hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Amber from Brooklyn.
Amber from Brooklyn. How are you, Amber?
Good. How are you?
I'm well.
Happy 2018.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a good one so far, I think. I don't know.
Well, my son turned two, so I'm excited about that.
Your son, that's your son Stanley?
Yes.
He's the cutest.
Yeah, he had a fun birthday party this past weekend.
Good. How's he doing?
He's doing great. He got this new walker that's like going to help him start walking. So we're really excited about it.
Great, and he's making progress with the health issues and
yeah. I mean, he's doing really well.
That's awesome. That is so seriously that means so much, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad everything's going in the right direction.
He's a happy little kid, but he's getting into his terrible twos now. So I guess that doesn't That happens no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to find those Elton John glasses are going to end up smashed on the floor.
Oh, my God. He's already thrown them off like 8,000 times today.
So. Bad advice? Has anyone ever given you bad advice, Amber?
The only thing that really popped into my head was that when I was 24, I decided to go to grad school because I didn't know what to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to start paying my student loans from undergrad.
Okay.
So I heard that if you go to grad school, you can defer your loans for a few more years. So I applied to grad school, and I ended up getting into the school in Chicago. And at the time, I was living in Miami, and I had a boyfriend, and I was in a band. And, you know, life seemed pretty good, but I was unsatisfied, as people in their early 20s are. And I decided to go to grad school, and the day before I moved to Chicago, I got a call from my dad. Now, I have everything packed up. My roommate slash bandmate has already decided she's moving to San Francisco. This is a done deal. There's no going back.
Yeah.
Like, I've got it all packed up. I'm ready to go. The next day, I'm going to drive to Chicago from Miami with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he's going to stay in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad calls me, and he's like, "Hey, Amber, I've been thinking about this whole plan of you going to grad school and moving away from Miami and leaving your boyfriend behind. And I'm not sure that this is really what you should be doing. Are you sure that you want to do this? You know, you seem to have a good life in Miami. You got a boyfriend. He seems like a nice guy. You should just stay there."
Oh.
And I'm like, so many things are wrong with what you're saying to me right now.
Yeah, he got in your head. Right?
He did. He really did.
What was Papa thinking, right?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he really, you know, his heart was in the right place. But if you want to say something like this, maybe you should have told me back when I initially decided to go to grad school, not the night before I'm going to move.
Yeah, no, that could have been there could have been a better, an earlier time for that discussion than when you're counting down, like you're down to hours before you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, come on, Dad, what are you doing?
And then the other thing is that, like, his main reason for me not going to grad school was that I have a nice boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, yeah, things, I suppose that love is important, but sometimes you have dreams that transcend that. And, you know, honestly, if I would tell my 24-year-old self, if I would give my 24-year-old self advice about grad school, I would say don't go to grad school.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not because I'm leaving a boyfriend, but because I am now in debt so much that I could probably pay for a house. Like, I could have bought a house with the amount that I'm in debt from grad school.
That's maybe the advice you should have heard. Look, it's not even necessarily bad advice. It's bad timing on the advice.
Yes, it's bad timing.
Come on, Dad. What are you thinking, Dad? Right?
So.
Listen, he's cranking too much of that Kansas.
It is. It's true. He's stuck in his little prog rock world.
You love the band Kansas so much, don't you, Amber?
I do. I do very, very much.
Does your son Stanley like Kansas?
You know, I haven't played a lot of Kansas for him because actually right now I'm in a Toto phase.
Toto phase?
Yeah, I'm really into Toto right now.
So what are you going to play for him? I'll hold the line?
I mean, sure.
Whoa, you can start there. That might be a good karaoke song. Hold the line, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not in the way that you hold me. Because when he's like, "It's not in the way you say goodbye," ooh, doesn't remember he does that part in the song?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
My
karaoke list out there. Add Hold the Line to it. By Toto. Okay? And also add The Streak. Remember the song The Streak, Mike? Ray Stevens? Add that to the list. And I also want you to add the national anthem. Imagine I was at karaoke and here's my next song comes up. Oh, say can you see? If you were at karaoke and somebody started doing the national anthem, wouldn't you just be like, that might be the best karaoke song I've ever seen. Right? And the words just come up, but there's like no music because it's like acapella, like... It's the only a cappella karaoke song ever. Oh, say can you see? Why can't... Here's a goal for 2018. And look, this might... I'll do this at a single-A baseball game. I don't care. I got to throw a baseball out at a game. Right? With the Lakewood Blue Claws. Get me down. That's that stadium Mike hangs out at half the summer. Michael B. there. Yeah, Foghat are doing a thing where it's a deviled egg. What is the thing that they eat? Chicken wings. Not deviled eggs, sorry. For some reason, I thought it was deviled eggs.
I thought you could throw the ball out at the local stadium near my hometown.
I'll travel on this. I'll travel on this. Yeah, like a car ride. Not I'm going to fly. For some reason, I swear Mike was bragging to me that he ate deviled eggs with the guys from Foghat at this Lakewood Stadium in New Jersey where there's a single-A baseball team there, the Lakewood Blue Claws. You're sure it was chicken wings? Okay. Thought I remember seeing a picture of Mike with the drummer from Foghat, and he had like a ring of yolk, like yellow ring around his mouth. No? Because Mike loves deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs.
He loves them. All right, Amber. Look, you give Stanley a smooch, and we will talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
You take care. Bye. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, we got the Friends podcast going. Meet my friends of friends. You got to listen to this thing. You've heard it, Mike? You like it? A lot of Tude from Dudio. Yeah, he's giving me a little bit of grief on it. A little bit of grief. Oh, thank you, Mike. Mike's got my back. This is the thing. I'll say this. If I was to rank who I want in a foxhole in here, the order would go Mike. I think Pat's a wild card. Pat could go either way. We could be in a foxhole in combat. There's that. Pat could go one of three ways. One way, be a fighting commando, right? Second way, be curled up in the corner of the foxhole, right? Third way, sticks his gun in my back, walks me out. I got him, right? Turns me in. I got him. Here he is. I don't know about Dudio, though. What'd you be like? I'd say Dudio second. Mike's first, because he's when Mike's in, he's all in. Dudio just by default would be second, and Pat, because he could go any which way, third. Sorry, Pat. I would think Pat could go first if the side of him that I think is there is the one that comes out where he would be loyal. But there's just as good a chance that Pat would suddenly be like, "I drop your gun." He'd walk me out and start talking German. Because we're in World War II, of course. Right? It was a weird history lesson. Best show, hi.
Walk me out and start talking Hi, hi, it's Kat from Raleigh.
Kat from Raleigh, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm right. I'm just sitting here in front of my computer. I'm knitting a hat. I'm going to be snowbound tomorrow. Well, snowbound by North Carolina standards, yes. Which is kind of pathetic.
Yeah, which is, for us, is considered, yeah, it didn't snow here. Like, people will be like, hey, did it snow? Yeah, no, not really. 2 inches. That constitutes, yeah, it didn't snow here. But there, oh, you bring it to a halt. Comes crashing to a halt. You shut the town down, right? The only place you can eat is Jimmy John's.
More like Waffle House, because they never close.
The Waffle House, yeah. The Waffle House, it's a good thing and a bad thing. They're open. They don't close. Maybe they'd be served by closing once in a while, right?
Mm.
Right? Give the place a good scrubbing.
Mm, yeah.
So you're indoors. You're ready. You and your cat are ready for the snow.
Yes, it's just asleep right now.
Yeah. Your cat don't care about the snow, Cat.
Yeah, he's not an outdoor boy.
Yeah. Well, maybe you throw him outside. Give him a little, see if he likes the snow.
Hmm.
Tell you, Gooden Poochie.
I'm just scared he'll run away.
Gooden Poochie loves the snow. You got to see this dog tear through the snow.
Hmm.
You think I should get her a snowboard. You ever see those videos where people have their dog jumps on a snowboard and goes down a hill? How do you get to that point?
Avalanche Bob should make a music video that stars Gooden Poochie.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Am I going to be on a set with Avalanche Bob and Gooden Poochie? Hey there, Gooden Poochie. Hey, bicka 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 bicka. My dog's face, my dog's like, I think I'm going to go back to the shelter. My dog would be like, one for the shelter, please. Gooden Poochie, a rocker bicky bicky bicker, you're going down the dog, going down the hill with the surfboard, snowing on the snowboard. And my dog's just like, yeah, check please. Like, calling the shelter. Yeah, hi, I have a dog I need to drop off at the shelter. It's me. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Cat.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you wouldn't be flattered by Avalanche Bob writing a song for your dog.
Well, writing a song, yes, but shooting a video? I don't want the video to be up at 6 in the morning with my dog. The craft service table. Right?
Hmm.
So, Cat, anything else going on down there?
Well, I called for the topic.
Bad advice. What's some bad advice you've gotten?
It's kind of broad, and it's also a little bit dark, but not too much. But, like, I think, like, it's not universal either, but some of the worst advice I've ever been given is when people sometimes have told me not to worry. Because my gut, it knows when something bad's going on.
Sure.
I'm just sort of skeptical of, like, people who tell me not to worry because they've got their head in the sand. Like, my gut predicted my health predicament mm-hmm. before I knew it was real. Mm-hmm. My gut predicted the election. Mm-hmm. My gut predicted all sorts of nasty things. It makes me think about how when I was in elementary school, I was Chicken Little in a school play, and it's pretty apt for my personality.
Well, what if it was modified instead of being don't worry? What if it was modified to say don't worry so much? Or don't worry until it's time to worry? What about that? Would that be a better fit?
Yes, but at the same time, some things that have happened that are bad, like I sort of called it like way in advance. And so, I mean, it's not something I act smug about because I'm too horrified, but it's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, these are not fun things that you're winning.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I told you, my health was not going to be good. I win.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like a Cassandra.
Cassandra, George Cassandra on Seinfeld? Well, I've never heard you laugh so much, Kat. That's so nice.
Well, you're a funny guy.
Oh, that's nice of you to say, and I appreciate it. I'm being told there's somebody on the hotline I have to get to, though, Kat.
Oh, okay.
You can always call back. You know that. Look, you call. You get your on-air fill.
But yeah, I mean, I just don't want to wear out anyone's welcome.
No, you don't wear. I'll tell you when you're wearing out your welcome. You're nowhere near wearing your welcome out.
Oh, thank you.
All right, look, you be safe in the snow. Take care of your cat, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. I'm being told to go to the hotline because we have a star on the hotline. What I'm being told. Who's on the hotline now?
It's Jake Fogelnest.
It's Jake Fogelnest.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Sorry, I think you're overselling it. Yeah. This is on Mike.
Yeah, Mike. You told me there's a superstar on the hotline.
This is Mike's idea of good, not your idea of good.
No, this is my idea of good. Because, look, this guy, Jake Fogelnest, look, at Jake Fogelnest, he's one of these guys, like I've told this story before, he used to do a show called Squirt TV when he was a young lad, 12 years old. He was on MTV, and he was this kid just going, yeah, I'm going to have Rivers Cuomo in my parents' house, and you just be like, and I was just watching MTV. I'm just like, oh, I can't stand this kid. This kid's driving me up the wall. And then the show went away. You ended it before you decided to pull, like, to end it
while
a Chappelle.
I pulled the
yes.
Chappelle.
Yes, you ended it. It was totally your choice.
Totally my choice. Yes. I said, you know what? I need to get my head together.
Yeah.
Think about, what am I doing? Yeah. Should a child have their own show?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I don't think so, because I don't know what the future is going to be. So basically, I'd like to apologize for Logan Paul.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
You made that happen. It's very exciting.
I did.
You brought us Logan Paul and the Low Gang.
And by the way, I'm totally still Team 10, because Jake Paul hasn't done anything.
Oh, no, I'm a Jake Paul.
Logan Paul.
All that Jake Paul's ever done is set fires in his rented West Hollywood apartment, which I'm sure he's not in anymore.
All the guy has done is take all of the furniture from his house.
Throw it
in
an infinity pool.
Yeah.
In a drained infinity pool.
And then was like sort of shocked when the neighbors called the cops and were upset.
Yeah, but it's also great and I also take offense. It's like there's no risk of setting fires in Los Angeles in California in any way, of just setting reckless fires anywhere for pranks. That couldn't go wrong in any way.
It's a bunch of haters, Tom.
Yeah.
And you know, you just gotta.
Thank
you. Be a maverick.
Yeah.
You know.
So this guy goes, and then I go to the movies with my friends, and I see Scream 3 in New York City, and I hear this laugh during Scream 3 in the darkness of the theater, going. And then
I'm dying to know what was so funny. I want to rewatch Scream 3 so I can figure out what was so funny that made me laugh.
I don't know. You were having a good time. You were having a good time with Scream 3. I said to my friend, I think that kid from Squirt TV is in the theater with us. I think he's watching this movie too. I think I recognize his laugh. And then, just like Creeps, we hid outside the theater door and watched you leave. And I was like, there he goes. And then you jump forward a few years. I'm friends with you.
Yeah, good friends.
Yeah.
I think what that shows is, you know, don't first impressions can be bad, and no child should be given that much power that young.
Yes, exactly. And that the whoever was running MTV during that 6 month period where you were given a television show
should be put in jail.
Should be tried and convicted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Victor Salva style. So, but
I think that guy's still working. Oh, right,
he's still out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, this doesn't matter. This is the past. You had a good run. People say, what's Jake Fogelnest up to now? And you know what I say? Honestly, I say, look, he's got this thing corporate. And they're like, what's that? I'm like, look, I don't know either. He won't let me watch it. He's been working on it for 2.5 years. Apparently.
You didn't get the link?
Oh, no. Just wait. Just wait.
Okay.
So apparently, he's been working on this thing longer than these Avatar sequels. Because
I think
it was 7 years ago he mentioned this show Corporate that he was working on.
Oh,
so
God.
Then, but now it's happening. And then I get these links. I'm going to say this. This show's great. It's legitimately,
really?
I thought it was so funny and so like ahead of, it's so like now in the best possible way and making fun of right now in the best possible way. It's really great. I thought it was truly funny and was legitimately entertained by it. I really like it a lot.
That means the world. Yeah. It was created by, these three guys, Pat Bishop, Jake Weissman, and Matt Ingebretson. And they, had never made a television show before. They had made sort of YouTube videos and stuff. And they sent me this script and I thought it was really funny. And I was like, good luck with it. And then Comedy Central bought it. And I was like, cool, that's awesome. And then they're like, hey, they're going to make a pilot. And then they brought the pilot. Jake Weissman brought the pilot over to my house. And I watched the pilot, which is very close to what you'll see tomorrow night on Comedy Central. And I was like, wow, this is really good. It's almost too good. It looks like a movie. It doesn't look like a Comedy Central show. I don't think they're going to pick this up. But, hey, at least you made a great pilot. And then they picked it up, and then they needed a showrunner for the first season to, be the EP and help them through it. And I just wanted to make a show that they would be proud of. And the fact that you like it means the world. That's awesome.
No, it's really something that's unlike everything else right now. And, yeah, I think people are going to respond to it when they get a chance to see it. And, yeah, look, I tip my hat to you.
Thank you. One of the things we decided to do was care about lighting and camera work.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just maybe just like make it look good in addition to the comedy. was important. And everyone keeps saying it's like a very, very dark show, and like I can't argue that it's super dark. Like it's like a workplace comedy, but like really at the end of the day, like who likes their job? Most people don't like their job, and working at a corporate environment is a prison, and it's not like happy, and nobody is like kind of turning to the camera, and you're like trapped in hell until you can go home.
Yeah.
And capitalism is a prison, and can there be humor in that? We think so. So, maybe some people will, find it cathartic, and also we wanted to have jokes too.
Yeah. It's basically like if there was a sitcom in the world of The Matrix.
Yeah.
This is what if Morpheus was watching a sitcom in that world, it would be like this.
It's like everyone keeps saying it's like if David Fincher made a sitcom, and we really did like shoot it like a drama, and we were very lucky like to have Lance Reddick is in it.
Yeah, he's great.
It's this great combination of like young people that you've never seen on television before who are like, like Claire O'Kane is in the show. And
what?
Yes, of course.
Well, first of all, David Fincher did make a sitcom. He's actually doing a show that's on ABC right now called The Goldbergs. That's David Fincher.
That's David Fincher?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Cause I think it's really heartwarming and funny. It's nothing like Zodiac. At least not yet. Not yet.
No, they're building up to the thing.
They're building up. It's going to take a turn.
Cause the one son on it that it looks like he's 37, the kid who's supposed to be in high school, the kid from Hotel for Dogs or whatever, like, I think he was in Hotel for Dogs. He's now on this. He turns out to be he has a dragon tattoo on his back.
Do you still go see every movie? Like,
no.
There's no time for you to do that, but there was a period of your life where I could see you like 10 a.m., time to go see Hotel for Dogs.
There were points in my life where I was a little rudderless, is a nice way to say it. There was a stretch where I remember one day, this might be the lowest point of my life. It was this one day where I remember waking up, getting dressed quickly, driving to the movie theater, seeing a 10 a.m. show of The Animal starring Rob Schneider, going home and brushing my teeth.
So before you brush your teeth, I probably
had peanut M&Ms for breakfast. I probably had Diet Dr. Pepper and peanut M&Ms before I had brushed my teeth. And then went home like, all right, let me brush my teeth, take a shower. Now I get the day started. It's like, no, you were just in public in a movie, but it's like, yeah, no one's there in the theater. They didn't even see me. Yeah, they did. Sure, they did. They wonder who the guy walking around who looks completely insane is.
Like, think, even Alan Covert didn't get up at 10 a.m.
No.
To go see The Animal.
Yes, no, he didn't. He wouldn't make that happy. He'd be like, look, I'll see you at the 1 o'clock show.
I want to check on how it's doing.
You know,
do my Happy Madison duty. But I've been there.
Imagine those days where, you know, you always hear those stories where it's like, our movie came out and what we do is we all get in a van or a limo. We just drive from theater to theater and we go and sneak in the back and watch the audience on a Friday night just laughing. Yeah. It's always like, yeah, those stories always. Yeah.
Vinny Chase did that on Entourage.
Yeah. But those stories only fly when you made Men in Black or you did, you did like Neighbors, like Seth Rogen. You don't hear about, Alan Colvert driving around when Grandma's Boy came out, going to the back of the theater, and then they like, hey, like going to the box office, hey, we're the guys that made the movie that the Grandma's Boy,
okay, cool. That'll be $17.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, great. We're losing money on that screen because of that dog that's in there. Great. You know, it's hard enough running a movie theater. We're going to lose money on that screen for the week. I hope you're happy.
Like I get it if you're Paul Thomas Anderson and you've made Phantom Thread. I mean, if I'm Paul Thomas Anderson, I'm just making sure it's projected properly, whether it's 35 or 70. Yeah. Like, I'm in the projection booth, don't mess up my print,
You know my favorite part of Phantom Thread was?
What?
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I know. And you were saying no spoilers, but I'm surprised people aren't talking about it. He's in it. It's a real surprise. Mm-hmm.
His head pops out of a dress. Somebody's changing into a dress, and he'll say, he's like, ooh, this dress.
Yeah, and then he proceeds to sing Don't You Want Me Baby by the Human League.
Yeah, which is...
With one of the Minions.
Yeah, and this is the move, exactly. It's a weird... Paul Thomas Anderson, I think, is having some personal problems.
Yeah, it's so totally off, because, like, I don't want to spoil Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful movie, and it's just got I've seen it twice. It's so many twists and turns, but that was bizarre.
Yeah, that's a twist. That's a real, that's probably the biggest twist in the movie is when Jar Jar Binks and a minion sing a Human League song in a movie that
totally
takes place in the 50s.
It's totally in contrast to like Johnny Greenwald's like score.
Yeah, suddenly it's like,
pretty, which is pretty beautiful.
The score's like, fum, 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 fum. And suddenly it's like, boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know if like, if PTA has to work that out with Disney or,
you know that guy.
The licensing. I guess he has carte blanche.
Look, you got to get that guy on the show. You got to get that guy to call the best show. You know that guy. I don't know anybody.
I don't really know Paul.
I don't know anybody. I got no connections anymore.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I have the same connections that you do.
The best connection I got, I know this one guy. He works on this thing corporate that he... Oh, wait, it's you. Because, look, this show corporate, it's on Comedy Central. When's this thing start, Jake?
The first two episodes air back-to-back tomorrow night at 10 p.m. It's every Wednesday night at 10 on Comedy Central. And I hope people like it. It's out of my hands now.
I think people are going to like it. It's really funny, and it's really funny in a way that nothing else is funny the way this is funny. It almost has like, there's almost like a Mr. Show-ish tone to the attitude of the thing where it's surreal in certain ways, the way they would be. And yeah, it's really, I thought it was really funny.
We weirdly have like a very strong connection to Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia throughout the season. Just cause like Philip Baker Hall was in an episode. And Amy Mann shows up in an episode,
right.
and so does Melora Walters.
Well,
and,
Jake,
like,
I have a pleasant surprise for you. In studio, Philip Baker Hall is actually here now.
I'd love to talk to him.
Philip, do you want to say anything to Jake?
Hello, Jake. I just want to say thank you for having me on corporate.
It was an honor, and I'll ask you again publicly what I asked you when you did the episode. I said, "Why did you do this? Why are you here?"
Well, Jake, you have to realize I did corporate because I'm still waiting for Seinfeld to call me back. You Bookman?
Yeah,
I was Bookman.
You happen to have, this is crazy, but you don't happen to know, Bob Einstein, do you? Because because I am a huge fan of him as Marty Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and, if you could put me in touch with him, I would love to talk to him.
He actually drove me here today.
Oh, really? He drove you?
Yeah.
Oh, is he there?
Jake Fogelnest.
Oh, hello.
What's your problem, Jake?
My problem is I think you're terrific.
Your
episodes are 40 minutes, and they don't need to be.
Wait, no.
How do they tell when they're doing lines on that thing who's Jeff Garland and who is Marty Funkhauser? They have the same.
There's no discern.
If there was a scene with this is what a scene of the two of them would be like.
Hey, okay, look, you moron! You're trying to do the thing. What's your problem? You're doing the thing. My problem. What's your problem?
The poor sound editor.
Yes,
the poor sound editor trying to figure that out.
Yeah, the Close Encounters when the thing gets blown out. When the glass shatters.
The glass shatters, yeah. That's where most of the budget of Curb Your Enthusiasm, because it's not on screen. So most of the budget of Curb Your Enthusiasm, by the way, I'm insulting Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm as if I have any authority to do so.
Oh, you do.
But you do. I will.
You got the corporate authority. You got corporate now. You got some corporate clout to swing around. I want to say first of all, If you're a meme maker out there, take a closer look at some of the background people in the final scene in Close Encounters. There's a few memes laying in there with some of those dudes.
I have such, I rewatched Close Encounters recently because they were showing it in the theater and I had time to kill, and it was like the only thing that was playing was Close Encounters. And I was struck by a couple of things in that movie. So basically what happens in that movie is that Richard Dreyfuss sees aliens,
mm-hmm.
comes home,
yeah.
tells his wife, Terry Garr, hey, there's aliens, and she's like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Then he leaves his family.
Yeah, throws his family in the trash.
Throws his family in the trash, chases the aliens, trauma bonds with this other woman who had her son abducted by the aliens, and then they kiss at the end.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then he gets on the spaceship, and I'm like, hey, what happened to Richard Dreyfuss's family that he lost?
Now look, two things. Look, he'd rather hang out with the aliens than his family.
Yeah, I get it.
Look,
it was a very crowded and noisy house. But,
I would say,
know,
look, those kids were horrible. Those kids are horrible. I might go on the spaceship. If those were my kids, I'd be on that. I'd be like, where is this spaceship? Just try to get away from the kids. But if I was in Close Encounters, I would end up being that third guy running up the hill with the two of them who, like, gets run. Like, I'd be like, because there were three of them going up the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like the third guy who passes out once the spray hits him.
Yeah.
And I'm, what do you mean? He, like, wakes up. Oh, what? So what?
You'd make it further than me. I'd be the guy out, and I'd just be dealing with, like, you know, the burns from the light.
You'd be laying. You'd be a fake. Yeah, you'd be like a passed out cow on the side of the road. Be like some cows that are asleep, and you.
Yeah,
wait, isn't that the kid from Squirt TV? Isn't the kid from Squirt TV? Is he asleep on the side of the road also?
Yeah, how'd he end up there?
But just imagine when that third guy finds out the next day, when they're like, buddy, boy, you missed it. You were about 100 feet away from the other side of this thing. You would have seen all the spaceships. If you could have just gone another 100 feet, you would have seen what no one has ever seen before. But you sucked in some of that sleeping gas.
I feel like that's the guy that then goes home and, like, it has to redeem himself and becomes the actual dude that, like, memorized the pattern on Press Your Luck.
Yes,
by videotaping he would be
that.
And
he would be that guy. That was a prequel for the guy who memorized the Press Your Luck, the whammy board pattern.
Like, I gotta redeem myself somehow. And that also doesn't end well for that guy.
Yeah. Although that guy probably should just go and go introduce himself to Terry Garr and the family.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause she's left in the dust.
Yes. Daddy's on a spaceship. And just imagine how annoying that character would have been on the spaceship. The aliens would be just like, hold on. We let this guy on the ship. How long is this guy going to be on the thing with? Oh, forever? This guy's going to be on?
What all these buttons do?
Yeah. He'll just be like, yeah, exactly. Just like, they'll be like, oh boy, this guy's annoying.
I don't want to be a spaceship with Richard. Like, who would you want to be on a, this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
I'd rather be on a spaceship with Robert Blake than Richard Dreyfuss.
Which Robert Blake, Beretta or Wild at Heart? No, Lost Highway.
Lost Highway. Cause at least it's like, you know, that guy's going to keep me on my toes. It's like, I'm already stressed out cause I'm in space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to keep me on my toes, as opposed to, like, Richard Dreyfuss is like, what are we having for dinner? It's freeze dried again.
Yeah. He's just mad at everything. And I want to just issue a challenge right here. And this is on behalf of AP Mike. He asked me to do this.
Okay.
Mike had said, he will fight Robert Blake at anywhere, anytime. Mike wants to do just a Bayonne style fight with Robert Blake, knife fight. Or any kind of weapons, like a truncheon. Or just good old fashioned bare knuckle boxing.
I think it's bare knuckle. I think you do it in the parking lot where Mike gets his bootleg DVDs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like while he's picking up a copy of The Shape of Water or whatever it is, Robert Blake shows up and he says, you know, you open the door, Charlie Potatoes. And then we just see AP Mike and Robert Blake go at it.
Oh, my
God. And then I think we put that straight up on old school pay-per-view for like $99.
Like people in a movie theater watching it way.
Fathom Events presents AP Mike versus Robert Blake.
Mike, you in? Yeah, Mike has a bone to pick with Robert Blake. He wants to settle the score. Now, Jake, I have to boogie here, but I want to tell everybody, seriously, all kidding aside, congratulations. This show's great. Corporate. It starts on Comedy Central tomorrow. It's really funny, and people are going to really flip for it. And I tip my hat to you, young man.
And I tip my hat to you, and thank you. And I love the New Friends podcast. I know you're going to work out some of the kinks. I think Dudio is. I think he's got to step up his game a little bit, but I see what you're doing, and I support it. I'm a big fan.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Jay. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, Tom.
All right, bye. In studio, quick cameo. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Roxy from Los Angeles is here. Well, not Roxy. She's in New York, New Jersey. What's up?
What's up? Not much. Hanging out. Thanks for having me. So nice to be here.
Oh, it's nice to have you here. Now, for people who don't know, Roxy is she calls the show from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
She, one of the things that we came up with was an agreement. You went on a date. You went on a date that is a best show date where I paid for you to go to see Dirty Grandpa.
Dirty Grandpa.
You went on a date with another listener to the show.
I did.
I paid for the snacks and the tickets, right?
You did. You gave us $50 to go on a date at Arclight.
And I will, and I'm saying this now. If there are two best show listeners who want to meet up and go on a date to a movie, I get to pick, as long as I get to pick the movie, I will pay for the date. And I'll also extend this, get this, not just new potential love. Anybody on an anniversary, 10 years or more, if you want to go to the movies, for your anniversary, I still get to pick the movie though. Might not be a great anniversary night. But this is a test to see how cheap some of you cheapskates are. You gotta go to the movie that I pick. But I'll pay for it for your anniversary. 10 year anniversaries or more. Actually, no, 10 year, they have to be like meaning 10, 15, 20, 20, like, and, yeah, so that's on the table too. But you went on a date with a young man, Gordon. What was his name? What was his name?
His name's David. I can't remember what you used to call him though.
I don't know.
Someone will let us know.
Yeah, someone will let us know.
I can't even remember anymore.
You went to see Dirty Grandpa with him. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is though, I'll pay for these dates. But if you go and the relationship goes the distance and you find yourself getting married, I get to design your wedding cake. However I see fit, and I'm telling you, you better do it. Right, Mike?
We were discussing wedding cake designs this evening.
Yes, I'm going to figure out, because basically I guess what you're saying is that you and Gordon are not going to be walking up the aisle anytime soon.
No, we will not.
So.
But my boyfriend, my current boyfriend.
Yes.
He, before we even met, he actually saw Dirty Grandpa 8 times in the movie theater.
Uh-huh.
He like wrote a little novella and he said, for whoever buys this, I'll take that money and go see Dirty Grandpa. And for some reason, he did that.
So he.
And a year later, here we are together.
Here you are. You somehow.
The Dirtyverse brought us together.
Yes, somehow, Dirty Grandpa is a very romantic movie. Who would have known that the Robert De Niro, Zac Efron two-hander?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a good old-fashioned two-hander. De Niro, Efron. So, yeah. I still feel like I have some dominion over your cake.
I agree. I totally agree.
What if the cake depicts cake topper of you and your boyfriend?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah?
There's no engagement.
Oh, no, I'm just saying if.
Okay.
If. This is all speculative. This is all speculative. And it's the two of you walking into a theater to see Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, boy.
Together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But look, yeah, there's no engagement. I know that.
I'm not going to jump the gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
I'm not. But I'm just saying if. If.
He's listening, too.
Well. And what's his name?
Julian.
Julian. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, Julian. Look, first of all, Julian. Yeah, look, buddy.
Boy.
You clearly like Dirty Grandpa a whole lot. You saw it 8 times in the theater on your own volition. That's your cake, buddy.
It is.
You better get ready. So, Roxy.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
Not too much. Working
you're
a lot.
Working.
Teaching yoga, hanging out in LA. Got movie pass, so I go to the movies like every other day.
Yeah, movie pass.
So much fun. It's so great.
What's the best yoga position for somebody who's starting out? What's the one that if they can do that, then it looks like they can go forward?
The thing about yoga is you don't have to be flexible to do yoga. So there's a lot of different yoga poses you can do that are going to stretch you out that aren't going to overexert your body in ways that you're not used to. So now, child's pose.
Okay. Child's pose.
Yeah, when you're just like lying on the ground, your big toes are touching together, knees sprawled out, head on the ground.
What's a yoga pose you could teach me right now?
You want to do downward facing dog? Oh, I guess you'd have to stand up.
Yeah. And also I want to just know, I'm somewhat competitive with things. It's like, how do you know when you win at yoga?
You don't win at yoga.
Like, how do you know where you're just like, in your face?
When you're in an advanced class and you're just destroying everybody at inversions.
Sure, everybody else like tipping over, trying to do things, and you're just like, yeah!
Some days I go in and I can't even like hold a standing or balancing pose.
Okay.
It just depends on how you're feeling that day. But I do go into classes sometimes and I'm blown away by some people's ability to do yoga. Like it's like gymnastics though. It's not yoga.
But other times you're just like, yoga rules.
Yoga rules. Yeah.
I'm the best at yoga.
Nobody's the best at yoga.
Well, that sounds like a challenge.
Whatever.
I think now. Hey, Mike, write this down on my, put this, I'm going to be working on my vision board later this weekend. I need to come up with some images and go get a few People magazines and see if you can find some things of people doing yoga. I need to put them on my vision board of me winning yoga. Okay? Yeah, I'm serious. People magazines. Okay? There's usually pictures of someone did like Carrie Underwood doing yoga or something.
On the beach.
Yeah.
Yoga on the beach sucks. I don't understand how anybody does that.
Yeah, it seems like you just sink into the sand.
You do. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Tom, I bought you some gifts. I wanted to
give
them
goodness.
To you.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Gifts.
In a beautiful plastic Duane Reade bag. I think there are receipts in there, but don't worry about it.
I won't look at the receipts.
Please don't.
And I won't return them.
Okay, don't return them.
The first thing.
That's for you.
Night vision. Oh, I've seen these on TV.
Exactly.
Those night vision glasses.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones that the like the military wears.
Yeah.
It is?
So when you're walking good and poochy at night, you know.
So you're saying that these sunglasses that you're giving me now.
Military grade.
So Rob Riggle probably wore these when he was serving. Let's see. All right. Let's check these out. I feel like Allie G.
I was hoping it would be better than the fidget spinner. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa, you do look like Allie G.
Those are intense. Man, everything's clearer in these things. Just doing the show wearing these now.
You look good.
Oh, thank you. Now I can look. I don't even need to open the bag. I can look right through with these things. Oh, my goodness. And it's a bone for Good and Poochie.
A big bone.
Oh, that's so awesome.
For a good girl.
Yes, and she's going to get this bone. Don't take pictures of me, please. Please. I know it's currency here. Take dumb pictures of... Sorry, Pat. And Pat, what do you think when I said that thing about the foxhole? Thank you, Roxy.
You're welcome. Happy New Year, Tom.
Thank you.
To you and your family.
What would you be in the foxhole? Are you the person who I could trust? The person who would fold like a cheap camera? Or are you the person who would straight up cater to the enemy and like walk me out?
I get your fear. I completely understand your fear.
Yeah.
I'm quiet here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty quiet.
Exactly.
I get the fear.
Mike's a loudmouth. Dudio's a loudmouth. You're the only one who has any sense of class out there. Right?
Yeah.
I listened to those guys after. You think it was a monster truck rally.
I wasn't offended. Right? I took it as a strange compliment.
I'm questioning it.
Sure. And I'll keep it mysterious.
Under the radar.
Under the radar.
All right. Yeah. But I mean, it's like because sometimes what you're doing seems elegant, right?
Yeah.
And when you see these two guys out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like you think they were at like a crab fest on the boardwalk or something.
That's
right.
That's being generous. Yeah, I was going to say I don't know, unlimited pancake at IHOP fest or something.
Yeah. And look, I want to say this there also. I was with Pat and Roxy earlier. We're walking across the street. There was a fire truck.
Oh, my God.
And this fire truck decides to... It was parked. It was not moving. So we start crossing the street. There was nothing. We were not slowing anyone down to do this.
It had just started moving by milliseconds.
As we were walking already. We started moving before the truck.
Yes.
And this fire truck blows the horn.
Wait. You're forgetting. There's a huge... 5-foot puddle that we had to leap over.
Exactly. Because,
and we took our time doing it because it was hard.
Yeah.
It was a physical challenge.
We did it on the way there, and it took us like a minute to figure out. There's just a huge water main break up
and
the
then,
street.
And then this guy driving the fire truck is so mad that somebody goes, bah!
I screamed.
Yeah. Huge. I'm saying this right
scared
now.
Me. It scared me.
I'm saying this right now. Fireman, you're a tough guy with your big fire truck. You're a tough guy, your big tough fire. That's how tough you are. Well, those guys are pretty tough, actually. I'm gonna let's close this line of
before an axe goes through the window.
Before an actual super tough fireman shows up without a fire truck, he's just like, yeah, okay. What do you want to do? How do you want to settle this? Tough talker.
By the way,
yes.
Perry just texted me. His name was Doug.
Perry.
Perry. Perry Schall.
Perry Schall, first of all. Perry Schall from the band Hound. Yes.
Yes.
He said Doug.
Doug, not Gordon.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I can't believe I forgot that.
Okay. Well.
Sorry, Doug. David.
Yes.
Gordon. Whatever.
The whole crew.
I can't take a photo, but Roxy, if you manage to sneak
I don't like this.
Listeners at home, it's a very much
Zoo TV
kind of
plenty of chances.
YouTube era Zoo TV.
I will say this
vibe going on in here.
I enjoy these sunglasses.
They're night vision glasses.
But I'm going to say this: my eyes are starting to hurt.
Well, you're wearing them and it's bright.
Yeah. You're the human fly now. It's part of the transition.
Off. Please take them off. No, Tom.
No. No, they are. Thank you. I'm going to wear them when I drive.
Great.
Yeah.
Late night walks.
Of course. And
good and poochy.
Thank you. Yes.
No problem. Anytime.
Yeah. Are you, you got a boogie? Where are you at?
Yeah, I gotta go back to Brooklyn. Gotta wake up early.
Well,
to Long Island.
Thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So nice to see you. Thank you for the presents. Oh, Happy New Year.
Always a pleasure. Happy New Year, Tom.
Of course. I will see you soon.
Of course. Bye.
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 Best show. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
My name's Liz.
Liz.
Liv with a V, like a violin, like Liv Tyler.
Okay, Liv. Thanks for calling. What's up, Liv?
Hey, this is Tom, right?
It is, yeah.
My goodness. Well, I heard you, we're listening to the show, and, so first of all, I heard your Iowa guy. I'm from Jersey, but I live in Iowa. So I felt like I should call, but then we said the thing about the date, and like if anyone wants to go on a date, with someone else that loves the best show, I was just going to say, like, I'm actually on a date right now for the first time with someone that also loves the best show and we're listening to the best show on our date.
Really? Where, what is, Liv, who are you on the date with?
With a friend of mine. His name is Donnie.
Okay. And how did the two of you meet?
I don't remember. We met at some, we live in the Quad Cities.
Okay.
And we met at probably a show or an art opening.
You ever hang out with the Quad City? Come on, you can ride it. You can ride it. You know them? Come on, you can ride it.
The Quad City what?
Whatever that band was on the Space Jam soundtrack. Come on.
Oh, the Quad City DJs?
Yeah.
They're not actually from here, I think.
All right, well then.
But yeah, I haven't hung out with them.
So you're on the date now. So you met, you're on the date now.
Yep.
And where are you going for the date? Don't tell me you're just listening to the show in a parking lot somewhere.
No, we're at my house. We got together, ate a pizza, and now we're listening to the best show in my living room with a video fireplace on.
That's nice.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
But we love movies, so, if that offer stands, I'm into it.
Okay, well, you email me. I'm serious. Email me, and we'll figure it out. I'm going to pick a movie, and we're going to do this right. I will pay for this date. If you're going to legitimately go on another date, and this is a legitimate date, I will.
Legit.
I will cover it.
That's awesome, man. Do you have, are you going to send us on a bad movie?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to send us on, a bad movie?
I don't know. We'll see what's playing.
Cool. But, that other guy from Iowa who called from Iowa City?
Yeah.
I think he was kind of, misrepresenting things a little bit.
How so?
He was, that whole thing with the grocery store with the separate building and the pager, I don't know if that's real because I know the grocery stores in that town and I don't really think there is one like that.
So you think he's a phony baloney?
Maybe. I don't want to say yes, but I think maybe.
All right. All right. Duly noted. Duly noted.
So, cool. I mean, we're totally going to go to a movie.
You shoot me an email. We'll figure it out.
Wicked.
All right, Liv. You have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Mate,
we love
you're
you.
Welcome, mate. Best show, hi.
Hey, happy Tuesday, Tom.
Well, happy Tuesday to you, too. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ben, the mail carrier in Portland, Oregon.
Well, welcome.
Thanks. Got some bad advice.
What bad? Who gave you the bad advice?
This is a really general one, but any advice that starts with there's two types of people in this world.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad start.
Just says it was wrong out the gate.
Because there's always more than two types of people for any any dynamic you're zeroing in on, there's no way there's only two types of people for just about anything.
No, it doesn't exist. So you know anything that comes after that, or anything that person says, it's not going to be, can't take that seriously.
So what is the thing that you were told there are two types of people?
Oh, I just meant like in a general. Oh, okay. You hear that all the time, you know.
So that's like a warning to you. You hear that and look out.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, don't have to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. I think that's it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Have a good night.
You too.
Right.
Short and sweet. I think about advice I've gotten, bad advice. It's funny, we just said the male dude just called. So one of the things I was thinking of was given to me by a mail carrier. And it was a line of bad advice that I would get from a few different people in my life that I look back and I'm just like, yeah, that's not great advice. Maybe it was good advice for somebody else, but it was bad advice for me, which a lot of the time advice would be like to be super, super, like super conservative about decisions. And I remember I was working at a store, a sheet music store, and the mail carrier, we were talking, and he was just saying about just like, you get a job, and you go, and you stay, and then you get that pension, and then you start living your life. Like, because a lot of these mail carriers, they're just counting the days down until they get that pension. Yeah, you know, I think that kind of thinking really kind of confused me because it seemed like you make the safe play, and then that's what you do, that's the one. Because it's also saying when you say that, it's also saying that you're saying life doesn't start yet. Like, yeah, your life doesn't start now; it starts. A little bit later, like, yeah, this stretch is gonna suck for a long time, but you'll there'll be better stuff later. Like, just get that pension. But then what that made me do was just be weirdly tight with decisions and made me just worry about stuff. I was already operating from such a deficit in a lot of ways in terms of just coming up from certain ways and having certain responsibilities and being very kind of cautious about things and feeling like you got to take care of the now. Yeah, and I ended up, the fit for me was just, for better or worse, to just be doing what I want to do and just out there doing stuff and sink or swim. You end up where you end up, but you're trying stuff. And you can get to do the things you want to do. That's the trade-off. And that turned out to be a better fit for me. You know what I mean, Mike? Yeah. Yeah, that was a very, very non-committal, yeah. Because I'm just out, I'm just making stuff. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the things going with the writing and doing this and doing that, and I think I have to have a certain amount of latitude to do that. Does that make sense? So, yeah, all right, Mike, me and Mike are not on the same page with this tonight. You know the other bad advice? This is like sneaky advice. And the only reason I'm going to tell this is because it'll make it so I can't do with. It's like when a year or so ago I got in leaving the show, I got into a car accident and I hit a deer. And I'm telling you, the front of my car was caved in like an accordion, this thing. I'd folded forward. The car was one third less, you know, a third of the car was completely folded upward like a 45 degree angle. So, now they wouldn't total the car though. No, it could get fixed. Really? You're going to rebuild the whole thing. You're going to still fix it? I don't want to drive that car. Like the money was so close to it being totaled, but they wouldn't total it. I'm like, please, just total the thing. I don't want to drive something that's going to, well, there'll be a guarantee on it. Really? There's a guarantee? I'm driving a thing that I saw get folded and folded up like I'm playing football, like one of those football games in the cafeteria. That might be one that only makes sense to me. That, you know, that football thing you do, you fold a notebook, piece of notebook paper up. Yeah. That's what my car looked like. So they wouldn't do it. And then I go to this body shop. They're like, all right, the body shop's got your car now. And then I'm just like, all right, I guess you're not going to total it. I guess I'm going to take some settlement on it. That's just like, cause I'm not driving this thing. And this bum at the body shop, this bum, he's like, yeah, you got to get your car out of here. If you're going to, whatever he was saying, he's like, you know, or we'll take it off your hands. And at this point, I had been fighting with the insurance company for a month. I'm like, so what do I get for it? Because I was told I could get a certain amount for the car with the parts and stuff. And the guy just starts laughing. He was like, yeah, I'll give you $100 cash. That's the best you're going to get. Trust me. I'm telling you, take it. And he's just like, yeah, you got to make the decision now. So I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to see this car ever again. Yeah, it's like totally ripped me off. This guy put the pressure, just that kind of like, I'm telling you how it's going to work. And I talked to the insurance company a week later, like, yeah, that's not true. Guy lied to you. Like his advice was just not true. And you know why I'm telling this? Because it takes it off the table now. Every once in a while, you get in the middle of the night, I'm just like, man, I'd love to just throw a brick through the window of that body shop. Even the score a little bit. But that's not how I roll. That's not what I do. I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good guy. I'll take my hit on that. Yeah, I lost. I got finagled and bamboozled. Guy pulled a fast one on me. No, I'm not. No points. You're suspended from the show for 6 months if you throw a brick through the window. What do you think? What am I? What is this, John Wick? I'm looking to hire people to do stuff. No, dude, you want to go throw a brick through the window? I don't know. I don't know if I trust this crew now. Don't know if I trust Pat. I think I trust between Mike or Dudio. I don't know. It's like a two-way tie for last. I'm not sure which is worse. Mike would just tell me right to my face, like, yeah, I said, I took your stuff. Yeah, I took it. I wanted it. I took it. And Dudio would be like, I don't know. Well, I don't know where your wallet went. Like with the two, if I was like, hey, I can't find my wallet. Mike would be like, yeah, I took it. I took the money in it. Where's my wallet? Well, I threw it in the garbage. dude would be like, oh man, let's look for it. It's got to be around here somewhere. Which is worse? Which one's worse? To spend 3 hours turning the place upside down looking for a wallet that Dudio's got in the trunk of his car. Gee, it's got to be around here. Where's the last place you saw it? Versus, yeah, I wanted the money in it. It's mine now. Yeah, so look, I'm not going to throw no brick through nothing. But that guy he just took advantage. He just lied right to my face. He's like, just take the deal. I'm telling you, it's the best deal you're going to get for the car. He knew I was exhausted at that point. You know what? That comes back. That comes back to you, buddy. You'll get yours at some point. The fates will take care of this matter. The fates will take care of this. I ain't got to worry nothing about that. I'll let the fates handle that. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, it's Chris from Keyboard, New Jersey.
Chris from Keyboard, New Jersey, what's up?
Nothing, I have one for the topic.
What do you got, Chris?
I work in kind of like a dude prevalent field.
Dude ranch.
And I've been a barber for like 20 years, and I decided to get married 10 years ago, and a lot of dudes were like, don't get married, don't get married. And I thought that was, like, pretty obnoxious, and people still do it to customers today. Like, the young guy in the barbershop getting a haircut for his wedding, and everybody's like, don't get married, it sucks. I think that's pretty bad advice and pretty obnoxious.
Yeah, that to me is always so, when these guys are just like, yeah, you gotta get married, like, yeah, join the club. I'm miserable. It's like,
yeah.
That's on you.
Exactly. It's like, I'm sorry you're unhappy, but don't, like, drag some 19-year-old kid into it.
Yeah, but also that thing where they just put the stuff where it's just like, yeah, it's terrible. And it's just, it's like, maybe you're terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah, where you're just like, nah, that thing where it's like, yeah, they're attributing everything to, like, whatever group it is that you're in. It's like,
yeah.
I had a thing where this one guy, I'm not going to name names, this one guy went off on me and he was drunk and he's calling me every name in the book. I was as sober as a judge and was bombed and he starts screaming at me, making no sense. And I was just like, why are you yelling at me? What's going on here? And then, And then it was like, we tried to sort it out a couple days later. The guy's like, hey, I can't help it. I'm Sicilian. It's like,
oh, that's the worst. Yeah.
No, that's not what it is. You like, don't dump that on whatever your heritage is or anything. It's like, no,
yeah,
you're,
like, I'm a Staten Island, sorry.
Yeah, you were rude. And that's that. It's not like suddenly the spirit of your forefathers inhabited your brain. You had no control over it.
Control
yourself. Terrible. I can't help it. You know me. I'm Sicilian. I can't. What? Oh, what a cheap cop out. No, you were rude. I'm not going to besmirch all the Sicilian people or whoever. It's shameful. Shameful. Thank you, my friend.
Pretty bad.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a good one. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. This is Steven from West Virginia.
Steven from West Virginia. What's going on on West Virginia tonight?
Not much. Everything's pretty snowed, closed down because of snow.
How much snow are we talking about out there in West Virginia?
Not as much as a foot, but there's a lot of back roads in West Virginia.
Sure.
So the plows don't really go out there, and if they, a lot of people live out there.
Sure.
And if they can't go to school, then none of us can. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Now, what about like the moonshine? How's that going to get delivered?
The moonshine?
Yeah.
Well, that's what led to, like, Chuck Yeager, who's still alive, by the way. Chuck Yeager's still alive. Those kinds of people. I guess if they're going to...
Those kinds of people?
Yeah.
Astronauts?
I can say that. I'm from West Virginia.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about astronauts. I'm kidding. Look, you don't have moonshine out there. That's not true.
Well, actually, since I was snowed in today, I had some moonshine.
You did?
Yeah, no kidding.
Who made it? Where'd you get it from?
My Uncle Rick. My Uncle Rick made it.
Your Uncle Rick made the moonshine?
Yeah.
And is it good? Is, like, blueberries in it or something?
It was decent. It was kind of like Everclear a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was pink. I don't know what kind of... It was fruity-ish, but I wasn't sure what kind of berry it was.
All right, well, look, you stay safe in your snowbound house. So what's going on? What, do you got something for the topic?
I was going to talk about bad advice. I think some of the worst advice that I ever got was, you can do anything you want. You know, oh, you're so smart, you can do anything.
Yeah, there's a good version and a bad version of that. You don't want somebody saying you can't do anything and making you not believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you want somebody to give you some parameters on. There should be some middle ground there that helps you be realistic about it from either side.
Oh yeah. I think people should just be like, hey, you're really good at this. You should get into, you know, mining. If you're good at mining, you should get into it.
Sure.
People should be more perceptive instead of like, oh, you know, put your mind to it, you can do anything.
Now, are you using, like, U.S. currency there, or are you using some sort of, like, bucks that go from, like, the town? There.
We use U.S. currency.
Okay. You know what I mean? Those things where the town just makes its own money, and you can only buy stuff at the general store with the, like, you're in trouble if you want to go somewhere else.
Yeah. kinda. There's nothing like that.
I'm teasing you.
If the United States was a person, I think West Virginia would be the heart.
Look, I'm not going to disagree with that. I like it out there. That's where Dudio's from.
He's West Virginia,
born and bred.
Oh.
He's moving back.
I talked to you about Captain Beefheart, actually.
That's right. Did you listen to that song?
Zigzag Wanderer?
Yeah.
That was really good rock and roll. That is the standard.
And did it
wasn't
help?
See, the first Beefheart I ever listened to was Dachau Blues, and I was like, oh, I don't know.
It's a little intense.
Like,
you're going to go to Trout Mask Replica? Of course it's going to be confusing.
It was, but Zigzag Wanderer, it was cool. It feels like, you know, you're kind of doing drugs, even though you're not. You're kind of just in a good headspace, but it's rock.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's what you want. You want to feel good about it.
But the past two shows that you brought up, Bill Bruford, he's one of my favorite drummers in the whole world.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you've been talking about him.
My favorite thing about him is when he would wear that Boston Bruins jersey. Because it's the initials are BB for the hockey team, the Boston Bruins. And he'd wear it because it's Bill Bruford.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it is. He would wear, like, these overalls sometimes that just said B on them for the Bruins.
I liked him way better in King Crimson than Yes, even though he was on the best
Yes
album.
Yeah, right. No, of course, that's where he did his thing. You could tell you put him on Lark's Tongue in Aspic, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, you take that album. That's the best thing on that. Him on that with the playing with the percussion dude.
Oh, yeah.
You ever watch the videos of that?
I've seen some like drum techs that he does.
Yeah, you should
I'm not
watch.
A drummer.
Go watch it.
I just like the drums.
Go search a King Crimson thing. There's like a thing from German TV in like 73 that's amazing.
Was that like that whistling, that old whistle test? No, that's the...
Not that, no. No, that's British. you want to watch, there's a video from Germany of them playing for like a half hour. That's really great.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out.
All right, buddy. You look. Go easy on the moonshine. I'll talk to you soon.
I will. Take it easy, Tom. You too. You're the man.
Bye. So for people who are interested, you can listen to the Friends podcast, of course. Meet My Friends of Friends. Episodes going up pretty much every day. They're short. They're like 10 to 15 minutes long tops. You can get on board. And, yeah, it's funny. It's really funny. I'm very happy with it. And it's going to only get crazier. There's also apmike.bandcamp.com. Mike needs the shirts sold. Help him out. Go buy some stuff from the guy. Go show him that you love him. And he's also got the $20. You still have the $20 headshot? Signed with a gold pen. That's his Podcast Hall of Fame signature on his headshot. apmike.bandcamp.com. I also did a podcast a few days ago, the Film Comment podcast. Very, very prestigious magazine, right, Mike? Well, apparently they're lowering their standards because guess who was on there talking about Anchorman 2? Me. I never felt so dumb. Look, I had a great time on it. They were all, everybody's very nice. There was a great group of people and very interesting and I just realized I'm kind of not very smart in certain ways when I do things like that. Look, I'm smart in other ways. That's not one of the ways I'm smart. I can't talk smart about nothing. Yeah, so I'm on this thing talking about 1941 and Anchorman 2. Right now, the Film Comment, who started that magazine, Mike? Well, whoever did, they're rolling over in their grave. Hear that? Who's this buffoon? Yeah, I'm that buffoon. But it's good. It came out today. It was a lot of fun to do. And I appreciate them having me on. So check that out. Couple weeks I want to do a topic, overheard dialogue. Overheard conversations. I want you to listen for certain conversations you hear going on, and I want to hear you tell us what you heard. Like tonight I was eating in a restaurant, and this guy was talking to this woman. It was like a young guy, and probably in his mid-20s. This guy could not stop cursing. Like loudly in a restaurant, just in conversation. He was like it was like nonstop this guy was cursing. He's like, he was talking about like Spotify going public. He's just like, yeah, Spotify, yeah, it's they're gonna launch an FNIPO. But they're doing it effing different than everybody else. And they also got an S ton of money up there. And this is like loud. And then he just starts talking about like, yeah, Netflix. I mean, if you bought that effing stock, if you bought $5,000 of that effing stock when that started, you'd be so effing rich right now. And he's like, but then you think of it, it's like back when that started, it's like, he goes like, well, I remember when people had DVD players. Like, you're not talking about, people still have DVD players. This guy, I remember when people had DVD players. What do you think I'm talking about? The wind up, Victrola? You put an Edison cylinder on it? I remember when he's like saying to this young woman as if he is tapping into something that she can't relate to. Well, I remember when they had DVD players. And now people are like, what the F is a DVD? He's like, I remember my uncle. He went, he got the whole thing. He had the big effing screen. And I remember the first movie he played on that effing thing was The Matrix. It was like, this guy was cursing. I'm writing this stuff down like a maniac. I'm just basically like a stenographer. Just writing that. It's like, hear yourself cursing sometimes. That's all I say. If you're in public, hear yourself cursing. And just try to go a little easy on the cursing in a restaurant.
What is that?
Ben Show, hi.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brandon from Rock Island.
Brandon from Rock Island.
Illinois. Rock Island, Illinois.
What's up, Brandon?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good.
That's good.
What can I do for you, Chief?
Well, a couple weeks ago I was listening, and I remember you said if a Papa John's employee were to call in, that AP Mike would get 150 points.
A Papa John's employee? No, yeah. I didn't say somebody. What, you deliver pizza?
Yeah, deliver.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who worked on a Papa John's commercial with Papa John.
I never did that.
I'm not talking about you're a pie jockey. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
About 2 years.
2 years. You ever meet anybody famous? You ever bring a pizza pie to somebody famous?
No. Can't say that I have.
What's the biggest order you've had to deliver?
Oh, probably like 16 pies.
How many?
16.
16.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
Now, how would you rate Papa John's pizza compared to other pizza places, like actual pizza places, not a chain place?
Oh, I'd rate it like, out of a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3.5.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because it's super doughy, right?
It is. It is really super doughy. And the sauce, there's something about the sauce that gives me heartburn.
Yeah, I think I might know what that is. It's the cheap ingredients.
Oh.
Yeah, it's because you're selling a pizza for 49 cents. At some point, something's got to give, and it might be the quality of the tomatoes in the sauce.
Exactly.
How much is a Papa John's pizza pie?
Well, like, if you want, like, a large topping, it's, like, large one topping, it's, like, $16.99 plus tax and delivery.
$16.99? What are those deals that guy's always bragging about?
They got, like, buy one, get one free or whatnot. They always have something going on. I don't really pay attention.
So they have buy one, get one free. So it's like you get two pies for $16?
Yeah.
Well, what's the biggest tip you ever got?
I've gotten quite a few $10 tips.
You think you've gotten quite a few $10 tips?
No, I'm pretty sure I've gotten quite a few $10 tips. I think one time I got a $15 tip.
All right, that's pretty good. Why is it that customers can't see the pizzas being made? Why is it? What's that about?
What do you mean?
When you go to the place, this is a question Mike wanted me to ask. What, Mike, you can't see them being made? they have the machines up, and you kind of can't see them actually handling the pizza. What's
really?
That, what's that about?
Well,
are they, fro- are they the, frozen?
The,
are they frozen?
The joints that I work, no. At the joints, all their dough is fresh.
All the dough's fresh,
Yeah.
You hear that, Mike? Yeah, maybe it's a weird bag. You sure it's Papa John? You sure it's, yeah, maybe it's Papa John. Maybe there's no H in the John. It's just like something. It's like one of those things where you look twice, you realize, oh, this isn't a Papa John's. It's Popa John's. Yeah.
No, but I was calling in because I, you actually, when I answer the phone for, to take orders and stuff, you influenced me to start hanging up on customers, made goodbyes, but.
So I inspired you to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how, if we were to do it now, how would that go? If I'm like, yeah, hi, I'd like to order a pizza, what would you say? He hung up on me. Oh, my God. He got me. He got me. I was going to do a scene with this guy. This guy was ahead of me. And it didn't take that hard to be ahead of me with that one. I've only done it 8,000 times on the show. Hey, Mike, is Dudio out there? Okay. Quiet. Yeah, moody. Moodio. More like Moodio, right? Or Tudio. Well, don't worry, Tudio. Mike's going on vacation soon. Mike's got a trip planned. It's a trial. He's finally going on trial. Best show.
Hey, guy.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
No, I don't know
it's
what.
It's curious. When the term bad advice comes up, it's usually attached to an automobile.
Yes.
And that's what my story was, and you beat me to it.
So tell me your story. First of all, it's BB from Las Vegas, our favorite.
Hello, people.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm great.
You doing good?
Yeah, I'm a finely oiled machine, and you know it.
I know. Look, I never doubt it. I just want to hear you say it.
Boom, boom. Straight to the top.
So you have a story about bad advice in relation to automobiles.
Yes, indeed. It was, an old boyfriend who told me flat out, he's like, Tracy, you don't take the car, I will. And it was a 8-cylinder automatic, 73 Nova unibody with the most pristine set of glass-belted radials you ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was, out of the box, completely unworthy of any kind of inspection sticker.
Okay.
It was about 45% rust. You know, given, it was, I got it in Buffalo.
Sure, so. Yeah.
So anything around the Great Lakes is going to come in that beautiful color of ferrous oxide.
Yes, a lot of oxidation going on.
Indeed.
Road salt. Road salt.
I had to keep moving it from one side of the street till the other until the title came in so I could junk it.
So it came in.
Yeah, finally did, and I remember taking it over to the dump. We went around like Martin Luther King Circle. And something came loose, and I remember looking in my rearview mirror and seeing the back end of the car just swinging.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was just swinging with the breeze. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but you're in the car at that point.
Yeah.
It's not supposed
to be doing
that. Yeah,
it wasn't a good thing at all, and the windshield wipers didn't work. Oh, but it was a rod. You know, I had a nice MTV sticker on the back with a circle and a line through it. I was a real rebel.
You hated MTV so much back then, BB.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even get it yet, so I didn't even have cable. I was just, you know, I had a 13-inch black and white. I didn't care.
Yeah, Exactly. You're watching the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
With the rabbit ears.
Night Flight.
Yeah, Night Flight.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jake Fogelness is on the line right now? Night Flight. You know,
did he call back?
That's Jake Fogelness. If we're playing Jake Fogelness bingo, you say Night Flight, that's on the board. So,
and
what was the bad advice, though? Where's the bad advice with that?
Oh, my boyfriend told me, hey, if you don't buy it, I will.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, and that was like, he just, that was a throwdown.
Yeah.
Right there.
Now, when you wait for the title, how is it, you can't tell, look, I'm not saying that you would do this, but up in Buffalo, you can't tell me that plenty of people are just saying goodbye to cars, that they just take a little swim, the cars.
Yeah, that is my understanding.
Right?
I did have a friend, he tried to turn loose, I think it was a Plymouth, God, what was it? It was like a K car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Dodges and Plymouths were just horrible for like 2 years? He got one of those.
And, yeah.
And left it down a lakeshore somewhere.
Yeah.
And he thought he cleaned it out real well, but there was apparently a gas bill in the glove box, and they found him.
They found him, yeah.
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 They don't take kindly to that sort of activity.
Yeah. It's funny how people don't want you dumping cars into bodies of water.
They don't, you know, but sometimes, like, you know, if a situation arises, like the aforementioned having no title, and just having to move this piece of crap from one side of the street to the other so it doesn't get a ticket.
Yeah. What are you going to do, right?
Well, I used to have to pry the carburetor open because it wouldn't start, and then this huge jet of flame shot out of it one day.
You always know when you've got a car, and we've all been in this situation. Well, not all of us. There's some fancy people out there who haven't. You know when, that screwdriver in your glove compartment that is there for a multitude of purposes, none of which are to have anything to do with screwing anything in.
It
has to do with popping something
Samuel
open.
Samuel L. Jackson starting a Yugo in that Lethal Weapon movie. Was that it? Was it Lethal Weapon? It wasn't. It was the third. You were talking about that.
What was that?
John McClane.
Oh, Die Hard.
Die Hard, thank you. Yeah. I get my sequels all buffooned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the steak knife right in the assembly. And
yeah, when you look at somebody's got like either a butter knife. You've either got a butter knife or a screwdriver in like your glove compartment, and you're just like, yeah, this might as well be the key to my car, because it doesn't run without the key or this thing.
Certainly not for carjackers.
Yeah. Well, look. Carjackers. I don't know. Is that still going on?
I don't know about that. I wanted to also mention that I think we missed a golden opportunity to not being able to play the Saints for the NFC Conference Championship. Is that it?
So who's the we here? The we is...
I'm sorry. The Eagles. I'm sorry I did that. I bandwagoned you.
That's right. You're an Eagles fan.
I've been through that section of the country, and it'd be nice to see them get something. But then again, who am I thinking about? The Vikings, they haven't won it yet, but they've broken my heart over my head so many times. The heck with school.
Just picture... Because the Eagles have that one guy, he's the quarterback. He won like a contest, right, that made him the quarterback now?
Carson Wentz, or won the contest?
No, the one guy, what's his name?
Nick Foles?
Yeah, right? Didn't he win like a contest and they called him out of the stands?
No, I think you're getting him confused with the place kicker.
No, you didn't. I don't know. What are they going to happen to them?
I was just bummed because I was watching the Saints game and they've got these huge banners that say "Move Them Chains."
Yeah.
And not to be outdone by regional contractions, "Move Them Chains" I think would be a good thing for the Eagles.
"Move Them Chains" would be
move
great.
"Move Them Chains"
at an Eagles game. "Move Them Chains."
Go them Eagles. Go Eagles.
Yeah.
"Move Them Chains."
So if you got the Eagles, are going to, who do the Eagles play? The Vikings.
They're going to play
the Vikings.
The Vikings this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, anything can happen with that. Who knows?
Anything can happen, but.
But then you have the Patriots are playing, what is it? Who are they playing now? The Jacksonville Jaguars?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, and then they're going to, like, smear the Jaguars, right?
Yeah. Possibly. I don't know. They look really good, but sometimes they just don't show up.
But they're, like, evil, the Patriots, right?
The only word that comes to mind is patrician. Not to be confused with Matt Patricia. But I'm talking about the hunk who just sits on the bench by himself and doesn't seem to have any friends.
Yeah, he seems that so guy. Unhappy. Guy seems yeah, so unhappy. Bill
rich
Belichick.
And miserable.
Can you imagine being that unhappy in life?
It's a choice.
Yeah, it's totally a choice where he's just like, the only thing he likes, you know what he likes Bon Jovi. Imagine that. The only thing that brings joy to this guy is the music of Bon Jovi.
Well, that speaks volumes right there.
Just picture him, like, listening to, like, just got my hands on some demos from Slippery When Wet. And, really pretty good version of In and Out of Love. Yeah, he seemed so unhappy.
Uh-huh. Wanted more dead than alive.
Yeah. I tell you, well, BB.
I just wanted to chuck in with your fella.
Of course, my friend. And I hope you keep doing it.
All right. I will if you do.
All right. I'm not going anywhere.
It's a dilly.
I'll talk to you later. Don't say Bloody dilly. Butt. Don't say dilly, because then Mike will come in and do his Bud Light.
Oh, I did it. I said the D word.
Mike does his Bud Light dilly dilly. He's,
oh, God.
Oh, my God.
This I guy. Did it. Unleash the Beast.
Do you know those commercials?
They make me ill.
Yeah, they should. Mike's the only one who likes them. Mike doesn't like Game of Thrones, but he likes Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, that's,
These commercials where these dimwits are all like in a medieval times theme thing, and they're all just like, I brought some Bud Light for the Emperor, dilly dilly. And Mike's like,
can I refill your Pepsi?
He emailed me a thing. You literally wrote dilly dilly in the email.
Mm-hmm. Dilly dilly pickle pickle.
All right. Thank you, BB.
Good night.
Bye. Dilly dilly. Illy. It makes me illy illy when Mike says dilly dilly. I don't know. What should we do here? Time to end it? One more call. Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Johnny in Chicago.
Johnny, what's going on, Johnny?
Well, I am listening to the show, thinking about some bad advice I've gotten in my life.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear the bad advice.
Well, this comes from my mother. She's, like, very new agey, and she means well, but I don't know. This is what she said. She said, if you ever find yourself, like, stranded on an island and there's no food or water around you, just stand out in the sun, spread out your arms, and just let it all soak in.
Wait, hold on a second. Start over on this.
Well, she said just that, like, if you're stranded on an island.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're out of food and water.
Yeah.
Right? Just stand out there. Take your shirt off, take off your clothes, and just spread your arms out and let the sun shine on you.
What?
Maybe that's like a creative way to, you know, commit suicide or something. Yeah, I don't know.
It
sounds like
you're trying to wrap it up early. get sun poisoning.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't, you know, that was years ago. I'd never really followed up. Maybe I should. Like, you know. But yeah, that was some terrible advice.
No, that's the worst advice. I can't even imagine worse advice than that.
Well, maybe to drink, like, the seawater or something, but, you know.
Yeah, but that would. But that's not even bad advice. That's just wrong advice. Like, that would just be like, well, no, that's the opposite of what you should do. You don't drink seawater.
Right.
Okay, if I ever get stranded on an island, look out.
Yeah, please don't do that.
First thing I do, get stuck on an island.
Yeah.
I dig a pit, cover it with palm leaves.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe write your own obituary. I would maybe write that first.
I'll say this. What if I'm stuck on the island and suddenly I see somebody on the island, they start looking like a hot dog to me? What do I do then? Do I chase them?
You'd have to.
I think so. All right, buddy.
You take care.
You have a great night.
I will.
Final call. Best show. Hi. Oh, okay.
Hey, am I on the air?
You are.
Tom, sorry. This is Adam in Chicago.
Adam in Chicago. What's up, Adam?
I was wondering if you've read the Jan Wenner bio.
No, I haven't. I don't care.
It's amazing. Completely no talent. I mean, the guy's whole life, absolutely no talent.
No, of course not.
Everything works for him. But also like a very alternative view of the history of rock and roll.
No, he's the rock version of history being written by the victors, is that guy.
There's a whole thing about Hunter S. Thompson being kind of an unwitting pawn of the McGovern campaign and not realizing it. Just kind of changes your understanding of a lot of the assumed things. And rock and roll.
Like, I don't want to read this Jan Wenner book. That guy's a snooze. What do I got to hear him do? Read a thing he's talking about going with James Taylor and Martha's Vineyard? Got to read about that? Right?
I was shocked at how nothing worthwhile about the guy comes out throughout the entire book. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. He can jump in a lake. So let me ask you this. You know, there's this Radiohead Lana Del Rey thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, whose side are you on with that?
You know, I listened to that Lana Del Rey song once, and I didn't really. I know everybody says that it's completely obvious that it's ripped off. I mean, I heard
there's nothing.
I heard a tiny bit, and then I didn't think so.
But who's better?
Radiohead.
No, they're not. No, they're not better than her.
Okay.
She's better than Radiohead.
When Radiohead's on in the car, my kid asks for Daniel Johnston.
What's that?
When Radiohead's on in the car, my kid asks for Daniel Johnston.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm telling you, it's Lana Del Rey. I listen to these albums. I got to say, I think she's kind of... look, what would you do in this? I think she's kind of a super... I think she's maybe a genius, actually. With these albums and the way she's kind of like people can think I'm crazy or I'm trying to come up with a hot take. No, I'm not at all. But I would say you could put her up against for the four albums she's done. You could say what's the difference between what she's doing and what Lou Reed was doing, documenting underbelly of things. And yeah. Those albums are good.
I haven't heard a lot of her, but I haven't heard anything of hers that I don't like.
Those albums are good. I'm telling you. And she, what would you do if you were me? She's playing in Newark on Friday. I can't go to that. You can't. That's the last thing I could go to by myself. I can't go. Well, I'm going to go to that thing by myself.
Yeah, you should probably bring AP Mike.
What's that?
Probably bring AP Mike.
Oh, that'll make it better. It'll just be me and AP Mike at the Lana Del Rey show. No, that's not the point, Mike. Yeah, I can't do it. I wish I could go. So good. I think she's, can't do it. I'm going to be there. I'm gonna creep. Right?
Is it a big venue?
Yeah, it's a big venue. But what am I going to be a creep creeping around the place? It's an arena filled with young girls. Yeah, but it was, but this is tilted a little towards young women at this thing. I'm going to be the one creep walking around. I don't know. I don't want to be on the wrong end of it. I want to see it more than anything. Go and be a creep everyone out. Right?
Yeah, I think you're going to be a creep.
Who let the Hunchback of Notre Dame into the show? Right? That's what they're going to say. Right?
Yeah.
Who's the Phantom of the
Opera?
Yeah, but
they're going to be in the cartoon.
Who's the Phantom of the Opera? What's he doing here? Right?
Right.
Right? I also have a little organ with me. But I don't know. I'm telling you. I think she's right on the edge of genius with what she's doing. Those albums are unbelievable. And now she's kind of in, comparing her to Lou Reed, she's doing the album, you know, the album, The Glory of Love. Remember when Lou Reed sang the thing about playing with the football coach?
Nope.
No, you don't?
Don't.
All right, well, he had this one album where he was saying he wanted to play football for the coach. You know what I'm talking about, Mike, right? Coney Island Baby, that's right, that's where we are right now. That's where she's at. What was that song called again? Crazy Feeling? No. It's Coney Island Baby. Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right, thanks for the call.
You have a great night.
You know, man, when I was a young man in high school, believe it or not, I wanted to play football for the coach. And all those older guys, they said that he was mean and cruel, but you know, I want to play football for the coach. They said I was a little too lightweight to play linebacker, so that I'm playing right in. I want to play football for the coach. Cause you know someday, man, you gotta stand up straight.
The best. Gonna fall. Right?
Then you're gonna die.
Some point, I will get to do the Lou Reed discography show. I gotta figure that out. I gotta block time out for that and start scheduling guests. I mapped out the mechanics of it, cause I wanna start doing more Patreon exclusive stuff. So, we'll get that going at some point. Yeah, so that's where Lou Reed was at with Coney Island Baby, but then you're like, this is like the best song ever.
Look at you kids with your vintage music, coming through satellites while cruising. You're part of the past, but now you're the future. Signals crossing can get confusing. It's enough just to make you feel crazy.